welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
What the hell's going on out there? 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Teresa Strasser. Good morning, Brian.
What happened to you?
That same cop, and I'm not making fun of him, I'm not being rude or anything, dropped in behind me probably 4 miles ago.
Now, let's see.
I'm parked Rockstar again. Let's see. Right in front of the thing.
2 weeks ago, I pulled up into the parking lot, and Danny was pulled over inside the parking lot, which was something you don't see very often.
No, I was thinking about that, too.
Cops pull you over on the street. Once in a while, you pull in your own driveway. But rarely on the other side of that parking arm in the front gate, inside of the parking structure, Danny was pulled over.
Because our floor is at least a couple floors up.
No, it was on the, first floor, and it was just past the entrance gate.
To put this in perspective, though, I've been pulled out of my car in someone's living room once.
Wow.
You drove into
I guess
a living room.
I don't remember
exactly, but since I was riding the wheel, I have to assume I drove through their house.
So, you were pulled over a couple of weeks ago by cop. I went around
a
you.
Fine officer.
He didn't give you a ticket.
No, he did not, but he also didn't, like, you know, suck up or anything like that. He gave me, he scared me and yelled at me and then said, okay, go to work.
Yeah.
But he let me off. He did not give me a ticket.
Yeah.
I just don't want to make his buddies, like, hassle him. Why didn't you give that guy a ticket?
No, but when you get, when you're a recognizable face, or at least recognizable to a certain percentage of the populace, when you have an encounter with somebody, be it a cop or anybody who's taken tickets or anybody you run into, a waitress, whoever, you can usually, there's three categories. There's that person definitely knew who I was. Right. There's the, that person did not know who I was. And then there's a small category of about 10 to 15% of, I can't tell. I think they knew who I was, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I didn't get the ticket because the guy would have given anyone a warning,
By the way, he knew me.
For
those of you out there that think, what's he talking about? How can you tell if you don't know, you don't know? After a while, it is a certain, not a skill, I wouldn't say, but somebody can say Danny Bonaducci or even point at me from directly behind me at 20 feet, and I know what's happening. You just get a cue to what's going to happen and who cares.
You know when people are
recognizing. Because I personally like it. Yeah. I want them to do it. I think I'm succeeding.
You didn't know the first time if the cop let you off because you were you.
When he got out of his car, he was so mad. That's why I didn't realize how long he'd been behind me because I'd broken. I mean, there were felonies committed, man. Lives were almost lost. So I didn't know how angry this guy might be. And then his ending remark was specifically he did know who I was because he said, he said, do you have a reason for going so fast? And I said, well, not a good excuse or no. He said, do you have any idea why I pulled you over? And I said, hundreds. I have hundreds of ideas why you probably pulled me over. And he said, do you have any reason why I shouldn't give you a ticket? And I said, no, sir. And he said, why were you going so fast? And I said, do you hear that commercial? And he looked at me really mad, like, I don't get to ask questions. And he said, yes. And I said, because when it's over, I better be talking or everyone's going to know I'm late.
Well,
so I gave him that. But then he said, "Mr." at the end, as he walked away, I didn't even turn around. He handed me my license, turned his back towards me and said, being a radio personality will not get you out of a ticket.
Well, I agree. Being on the man show will, but the radio personality evidently doesn't carry much weight with the cops. I will say this, Bonaducci. I feel like most people pull you over know who you are, and the tip is probably you driving the Partridge Family bus. I feel like if you just broke down and drove an SUV.
A regular car,
you could probably blend in, but we just can't miss you. It's like Mr. T driving the A-team van.
But you would think the sign, careful, nervous mother driving on the back would throw them. I don't look like a nervous mother.
And that little Garfield
said,
clinging to the back.
Nervous mother effer. Then it would, okay, that's fair, but nervous mother driving, you don't think me.
So now you get pulled over a week and a half later by the same cop?
No, I did not get pulled over today.
You don't get pulled over?
He dropped in behind me at Highland near Sunset. and just stayed next to me to the door.
And you don't know if it was the same guy or not?
I do know it was the same guy. It was absolutely the same guy.
Oh, how do you know? How did you tell?
He had a very distinguished look. Like, first of all, honestly, he's really handsome.
And you could
I got out of the ticket. I don't have to suck up.
You could just see
this
him.
This was a dashing cop.
You could see him in the rear view.
No, man, he pulled up right next to me.
You said he dropped in behind you.
He did, and then he dropped in front of beside me, and then in front of me, and then beside me, and beside me, and just, I mean, he was all over me, but not all indicators, all plenty of room. He did not interfere with me in any way.
Did he establish eye contact?
Yeah. And he didn't smile. I tried to smile and saw that wasn't what was happening. What was happening was he was telling me, I'm going to be here every day, is what he was telling me.
Police escort.
He was letting me know I got time for you, man.
Wow. Yeah, I, you know, think about, well, I've said it before, I'll say it again.
And I was in a specific rush for a reason. I would not have been in this. That was as big of a rush as I was when I was pulled over. The ridiculous rush, squealing tires, running red lights. I don't want to do that anymore because I've now been caught and pulled over in my own building.
Right.
But there was something I did this morning that took extra time that I thought you might appreciate, and it was hard to do. And by the time I got out, my clock said 5:46, and I live in Los Feliz.
Well, what did you do that took extra time?
Well, you know, I have these fights coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And
Hold on, you have fights coming up?
I wish to motivate. You're the only one that really counts to us, which is the only one I don't get a penny for, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But in trying to
prepare
prepare you to prepare me a little more. I'm a little scared of a couple of these, to be honest with you. And when I talk to people, they often remind me, because now I'm training. I go to pound for pound boxing gym right down the street. Mm-hmm. Guy's name is Justin something. He's an Australian guy, fought for the heavyweight champion of the world against Lennox Lewis. So I'm really seriously training hard. But when I mention your name in a boxing gym, they don't say the manager. They do later. And they don't say Crank Ingers. They do later. They say, hey, didn't he fight? Doesn't he train in a professional trainer? It's kind of like, I've got you right here, in a way. So I brought in a couple of things recently that I thought might make you go, yeah, I can work with this guy or whatever. But then you brought in that ringside catalog of yours, and I went back with it and a credit card. And it all came in yesterday.
You bought a ton of junk.
I loaded it up in a giant Tupperware vat. And it was so heavy. First of all, getting it all in, because I'd unpack it to see if I got him all my toys.
Right.
And then once I unpacked it at whatever time I got home last night, and the alarm went off this morning, I had to get ready while not packing, couldn't possibly pack, just throwing all my new toys into this big Tupperware thing that then weighed 80 pounds.
The first thing you unpack when you order a bunch of junk from a place via catalog is another catalog.
Yeah.
It's always a little disappointing. What have we here? Oh, the only thing I had from this company, I just got another version of, and probably pay an extra $6 to ship it from Battle Creek, Michigan.
And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that all the stuff I remember buying would fit in the box it came in. So I think there might be another box a coming.
What kind of stuff did you buy?
Everything that wasn't nailed down.
Like focus pads and hand wraps and bag gloves.
You know that little tiny timer I have that I showed you, the little yellow one?
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm really beating on a heavy bag, sometimes I'm not quite sure I hear it. So I bought a professional gymnasium timer with digits and bells. And
well, how many hours are you training right now per day?
For fitness or specifically just to box?
Total.
Four.
Wow.
No, I'll kill this guy. This guy, but this is the one I don't get. I get like a station appearance, like $1,500, I think. So that's no money.
But
the amount of hours I'm putting in, I'm getting $1 an hour.
That'll be the day after the bachelor party, which is on the
31st
bachelor party.
San Diego tickets at Ticketmaster. If you want to go, and by the way, just because I hate this guy, I don't want to. It started out, I liked him. I thought he was calling me out to get press. This is kind of how I made it. I did stunts until I got it. He's a Sunday afternoon jock nobody. And I'm saying that to be mean. I want to be mean. I don't like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me up, and he started going off on me, and I immediately knew what he wanted. You know, if I come down there and fight him, he's a Sunday afternoon jock in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make something out of him.
Right.
I'm going to do him a favor, win, lose, or draw. I'm going to draw attention to this guy that he doesn't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But I admired it. You know, I did it. And I saw a guy that reminded me of me, giving
you're
it a shot.
Doing him a favor with your fists.
And he even called back because I went with him. I said, why you, I oughta, and all that stuff. And I thought he was going too far. And I said, listen, now you might want to get yourself out of this. Just call me a punk and hang up and get yourself out of this before you get hurt. And he called me back at the break. And he goes, hey, I was really great, man. I was so good. And blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, but I stopped playing with you 5 minutes ago. I said, so just don't call me back. You've done your bit. I hope it gets you some attention. I said, I'm going through a divorce right now. It's a tough time because I just said it had just happened. Phone rings again like 3 minutes later, and he starts talking about my wife and then asks to speak to her. And says, and I say, okay. And I enter the phone, and he says something to the effect of, hey, after I knock your husband on his ass, you want to go out with a real man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when he lost internal organs right there.
He wasn't on the air or anything.
He was on there. He's still doing his bit, but he doesn't realize I told him I'm done.
Right.
You've done your bit. And I told him, don't mention my wife. I don't like it. So now I'm in, because now I accept, like an idiot, I've been sucked into going to San Diego and kicking this guy's ass,
right,
who outweighs me by 43 pounds, by the way, and is younger than me by 15 years.
Now, is this a tune-up fight for when you fight
OJ? No, this is, this guy bleeds all over the goddamn floor. That's what this is. So I go down there, and I do the press conference, and I tell him again, the wife's not a smart idea, man, but I'm a little more comfortable than I was, but you're going to get hurt either way, and let's not do it here. I hate that crap. That's stupid. Let's say what we're going to say and look tough, sell some tickets, whatever you want. Because it's a big bill. I mean, POD is playing, Helmet's playing, there's a girl fight, and then a heavyweight fight. This is like, there's going to be 10,000 people there.
POD and Helmet are good fight bands.
Yeah, there's going to be a big deal. I mean, I don't want to put a smile on my face yet because I'm not done gouging his eyes out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I say, new rule, and I'm not kidding, and you have to respect this, is going to go really bad for you.
Mm.
If you touch me without a glove on your fist, I'll kill you right here. Nobody ever, ever, ever lays a finger on me without my permission. And unless you have a glove on your hand, you do not have my permission. And he goes, listen, and he goes to shove me, and this is all on MySpace, you can see it. He touches me, bare knuckle, boom, right across the side of his head, and he drops like a brick or whatever, drops fast. I punch him in the face so hard, right on the spot, no talk, no nothing. Because at 5'6", I never talk.
Right,
you know, if the claim of violence is coming, it's already come, because I'm too little to be polite. So I deck this guy. Unfortunately, I'm out of little, it's not that interesting of a story unless you know anything about fighting, but I'm fully extended. I want to hit him with a bunch left and push his head way back. My arm's all the way out, so I don't make a lot of contact. He still falls, but he gets up pretty fast, which bothers me. And he says, is that all you got? I look at him. I go, why, no, actually, it's not. Just all cash, Mr. James Bond. It's on the tape. Yes, I mean, it's exactly like that. I go, why, no, actually, it's not. And then he's got these three giant heavyweight fighters separating him from me, he from mine. And I look at the camera. There's news there. And I said, look at the camera, and I said, now, you want to see something interesting? You see these three heavyweights right here? I don't know them. I don't have anybody with me. I'm by myself.
Right.
What their real job is, so he can stand behind them and scream, let me at him, I'll kill him.
Right.
Then make lunge for me, and they'll stop him.
Right.
And in reality, I mean, and so it looks like I won't get hurt.
Right.
But in reality, they're stopping him from getting killed.
Right.
Right. I'm alone. I don't even have a girl with me. I just rode down there and I'm going to beat this guy's ass and go home.
Well, even if you had a girl with you, how good would it look pushing her in front of you?
Right. I've done it before. Fights get tough.
I've done it with the cameras rolling. It's not great.
So the guy, when I say that, when I call him out on it, he apparently hates it enough. I go, they're here to stop him from getting to me. He doesn't want any part of me. He wants to be forcefully restrained from getting anywhere near me.
Mm-hmm.
As I turn my back, you can see it on the film. I didn't see it happen. He kind of zigs and he zags and makes it through them. And gets me, but he dives and kind of gets me in a headlock, which we're going to box. That's useless. Nobody can hurt anybody in a headlock. His arms are tight. Matter of fact, I can hurt him because my arms are still free. So I start busting up laughing, reach down, like essentially in his pants. You'll see it if you see the tape. And I grab both of them as hard as I can, and I squeeze as hard as I can. He starts screaming like a girl. I mean, screaming. And, I mean, I'm trying to do permanent damage.
Ironic, the only time you ever sound like a girl is when someone's squeezing on your scrotum sack, you know?
And I said, except I'm yelling. I wish I was this cool. Like, when I say, why, no, actually, I'm really that cool. And this one, I'm not. This one, I'm screaming. I'm going, you want to talk to me now, bitch? You want to talk to me now? Do you have something to say to me now? And he's just screaming. And nobody knows how to get me off him. To pull me off him might do him permanent damage.
Right.
I mean, I've got him like in an eagle claw.
You would take those with you.
It was bitchin'. And I think that's essentially the end of the day.
So this fight's coming up on the first
morning after the bachelor party.
Right, which, let's see, what,
By the way, a bunch of his trainers, if you see, like, giant men with tattoos that look like they used to be heavyweight fighters, they are. Mm-hmm. They've changed teams.
So Thursday...
They just know he doesn't stand a friggin' chance, so why not go party with Bonaducci and see the chicks?
Right. Thursday is when you can party with Bonaducci.
All night long.
May 31st at the Key Club.
Because I'm just going to jump in a car, go to sleep, wake up in San Diego, take a nap in a hotel, get up, knock this guy out, and go into Tijuana.
I feel like that encapsulates your life.
Yeah.
Feel like that, just get up, get in the car, go drive to San Diego, fall asleep, get up, knock someone out, get in the car, drive back to L.A. and go to sleep again. I feel like if I just took your last 47 years, I could condense it into get in the car, drive to San Diego, knock somebody out, get back in the car, drive back to L.A.
You left out put on pirate pants.
Put on pirate pants. No, but,
he's right.
Party with some strippers, have a good time, nail a tranny, get in a car, drive to San Diego, go to sleep. Knock out a guy, get back in the car, go back to L.A., go back to sleep, party with some more trainees.
Perfect weekend.
That's when Gretchen said I want a divorce and then the cops came and evacuated me from the house and the next day I was supposed to go to Catalina with a bunch of people and barbecue and then the island caught fire, I thought, this pretty much encapsulates this moment. Mm-hmm. Adam is completely correct. That kind of, I hate to admit it, I mean, I read a lot. I'm well-read. Why don't you throw that in this monster life? But the fact of the matter is...
Party with some trannies, get in the car, drive to San Diego, read a book, go to sleep, get up, knock guy out, read a little more, get back in the car, drive
actually,
back
no, I would be listening to Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground on CD.
Get books on cassette, listen to Notes from the Underground, knock guy out, read a little, get back in the car, listen more books on cassette, drive back to L.A.
Yeah.
Party with some trannies.
Yeah. The funny part is,
rinse and repeat.
That was my idea with Donny Osmond, except not that extreme. But I showed him no respect because he's Donny Osmond. I had no idea that singing while simultaneously dancing on stage made you an athlete.
Right, yeah.
I had a smoking girl. I had a girl who held my cigarette so I could smoke all the way into the room.
She wasn't hot, but she was like a walking ashtray.
But she held my cigarette because I have gloves on, and she held my cigarette so I could not only smoke on the way in, and another girl was combing my hair. I was just, it was the WWE as far as I was concerned. I was going to kill this guy and get a snack. And so I had another girl combing my hair and stuff, and I was wasted drunk. And that's what gave me the respect for boxing. One point the other way on a split decision, and Donnie would have won that fight.
Well, Donnie is going to be on the show later on
today. Oh, good.
Today
I'm glad I confessed that. I'm glad I didn't try and be ball brave.
To make his case. We need to take a break. Speaking of Danny's bachelor party.
Yeah, come out.
Can you contribute? I don't want you just to stand around.
Please, help me out.
I don't need a bunch of barnacles wearing Dockers sitting around going, hey, let me get a picture with the Ace Man, and then yelling at your friend because you can't figure out your camera phone for 20 minutes. And then I walk away, and then you come back and go, I got it figured out, but your friend still doesn't. You have to yell at him, and then I just got to watch you get sloppy drunk. I want you to perform.
Is this a guy that can do something special, or is this a girl that can do something special, so for sure she's in and she gets to bring a guest? Or would you like to just remember that this is the Adam Carolla show and decide as we go?
I would say
whichever gets the most chicks there.
I would say C.
Yeah.
Meaning
my show,
C.
My chicks.
But here's the thing. What do you bring into the party?
Yeah.
Your
vagina.
Be creative. Maybe you're bringing your vagina. Maybe you're bringing your neighbors.
Right.
Maybe you can
shove my name into it. Whatever. Just bring it.
Right. Whatever you got. 866-901-ADAM next.
Danny Bonaducci is single again. And Adam Carolla is throwing him a bachelor party.
With chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Danny Bonaducci's bachelor party with the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to bone this huge girl. You got to see this.
But we're looking for real bachelor party talent.
The bar is pretty low.
So what do you bring to the party? Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, this is a two-stager, 866-901-ADAM. A, we want folks at the bachelor party, and then B, I think we're going to have a bachelor party talent competition. So, one is, what do you bring to the party, meaning yourself, seven-layer dip, hot chicks, something you can do, some stunt involving funneling Jägermeister or something. But the second part is a full-blown sort of talent show. Like, we did it on the Man Show. We did the Man Show beer talent show.
Right.
One guy did something. Well, one guy busted a beer bottle over his head. It's funny about the fifth take when he's just knocked himself silly with the beer bottle. And the beer bottle hasn't broken yet. I think the poor guy was trying to do it with a Foster's can. I think that was the problem. But
that he hadn't opened.
Another guy did one with something. One guy did something called the Savage Brew. I don't know why. It's one always stuck in my mind. He would take an aluminum beer can, shake it up in like a paint can shaker. Then he'd take the side of the can. He'd hold the can like if a dog put it in its mouth, like the dog was holding the bone. Put it sideways, and he bit into the aluminum, and the beer would just explode into his mouth, and he would inhale the entire can of beer. Maybe it looked tougher than it did. We had this chick crush a beer can with her boob. The one I held and was all over YouTube with. It's great. Be shown at my funeral.
It will be, because I've actually seen it since I've worked here.
Yeah.
So we had a beer-based talent competition, but this can just be bachelor party.
Sure, Danny was telling us a story about a woman with a very special talent who you met in Chicago.
Oh, all right, exactly. What was her name? Who cares?
Wendy?
For this particular one, yes. Very nice. Apparently, you remember the story. Mm-hmm.
The punchline before the joke.
Her big thing was that she could blow out candles with a certain part of her body that didn't involve her upper lips.
Yeah, she could smoke while she was doing it. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Wendy.
So,
and it was cool because we actually ended up, because it was a really nice guy who's local and married to a very nice woman, so I'll skip his name. But it wasn't his kind of thing at all, and it wasn't like my kind of thing. It was just a caller that said she could do it, and I said, well, we're going to this named really fancy restaurant, and we just went around a little corner, and she did it with just matches. She just had to do it for us, to show us that she could.
Mm.
I just would light matches and go,
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a topic for the 8 o'clock hour. I don't know what percentage of folks can do that.
You mean blow?
Well, let's put it this way. There's a certain percentage of society that can take their tongue and roll it into a half crescent or roll it into a burrito, right?
Right.
Maybe it's 35% of Americans can do that. Maybe it's 50%. I don't know. I can't do it. But it seems to me about half the people I talk to about can roll it up into a ball. I would bet a higher percentage of women can do this than we think. Yeah, I would say it could be in the 10% range when we think it's one out of every 1,000 women. Maybe it's one out of every 15 or 10.
Think about this. When you're with a woman you actually know and air escapes, it's possibly the most embarrassing moment of her life.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yet, when you can do it on purpose, people stand up and cheer.
Mm. Yeah. The difference is, you know, one wants to be in control of when that happens.
That's true.
Right.
Right.
One doesn't want to be Queen Latifah.
Right. We are going to talk.
Queen Latifah, that's what I mean.
We're going to talk to you about your talent, what you bring to the party. Yes.
I just want to add this, because there's strippers and nasty girls and all sorts of stuff, which I'm all for. But I want to make this really clear. This is important to me. I hate the idea of being single. I don't want to be single. I think I can pick out a girl. I did it once before and stayed married almost 20 years, and she's the one that wants out.
Right.
I can do this again. Mm-hmm. So I would like some reasonable chicks to show up, but I've been thinking about that.
Yeah.
If you are applying for the job of Mrs. Bonaducci, you should also bring a whore with you.
Okay.
Mm.
It's just your real skanky friend that everybody's got.
Mm.
Because our friends, fans, listeners, and group ourselves deserve that.
That's not what you're looking for.
That's not who I'm marrying. I'm not going to marry a stripper the 31st. I'm just that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I'll be really happy she's there, and I'll thank her, and I'll tip her well, and all of that stuff.
All right, so you Debs grab a
nice
whore.
Girl, grab a whore.
And you whores grab a Deb.
Right.
Everyone's got a skanky
but it's a bachelor
friend.
Party.
And if you don't have any friends, just have your right side be promiscuous, and your left side can be a virgin.
But since it's a bachelor party, and it's for you guys as much as me guys,
right.
If it came down to nice girl versus whore, bring lots of whores.
Right. Okay. Always there.
I just liked a girl that I could fall in love with and be bitching. I like spark, and the sounds go off, and it's all great. That'd be nice. But this is a bachelor party, and if you can just find a girl that can shoot an egg 20 feet out her butt or something, that's kind of a cool skill.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I made myself clear.
Evan, abundantly. Evan?
Hey, how you doing?
Evan, we spoke to you before, right?
Right.
You're the only black person in San Diego?
I don't know about that. There's smoke. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So you can rap. You rapped for us before, right?
Right.
You want to come down to the bachelor party and do a little rapping?
Most definitely. I want to rock that joint for y'all boys, you know what I'm saying, and witness before Danny go pop that boy sugar bag.
Okay. Now, to do that, though, and y'all have to pardon me, but my mouth is so dry. I flew here this morning. I've got so much mung in my mouth. I've got a mint already. Thank you. I would like you... Because, this, you know, these guys and you guys were kind enough to hire me when things were a little tough. I mean, I have some money. I'm okay. I'm not pleading poverty or anything. But people took a chance on hiring me. And this is the Danny Bonaducci thing thrown by Adam Carolla for me. It's my first one.
Right.
I would like you to put some thought into this rap. I don't want you to just get up there. And I mean, even though you freestyled great the other day, I would really like the place to rock when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, you ain't saying nothing but a word, Danny. Go down, gangster.
Hey, Evan,
I didn't understand you. You must be very good.
Do you have a specific rap for Danny's bachelor party?
Man, when I get there and I can fill out the room and let me, you know what I'm saying, scope out the building and the crowd, mm-hmm. I can have them boys up. Man, Danny, I can put some words together,
All right, here, let me just give you a little start. Danny always rhymes with Fanny.
Right, mm-hmm. And Tranny.
But also, try this. Danny Bonaducci always rhymes with Hoochie. Not bad.
Right.
Coochie, not bad.
Hold on, Danny. This is affirmative action for the one place the brothers don't need it. That's in the rap department.
You got it, bro.
We're talking about college entrance. That's one thing. Rapping? They need no help from us.
I just want this to go great.
Sorry. That was condescending.
It was, and I apologize.
Do you think we can make it?
No. You good, man. All I'm going to say is, man, 103.7 FM, Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci. I'm going to get up in there. I'm going to act a fool. Danny going to go whoop on old buddy. Adam Carolla rock. Teresa, she look good. And everybody going to be G. And it's going to go down.
Yeah, all right, fine. He's good.
Evan, you're in.
You're in.
Feed up, baby.
All right.
See you, man.
You want to hear his rap from last time?
Yeah, what is his rap from last time?
At the Mona Lisa.
Man, I'm going to put it down because I'm a big money folder. Catch me on the radio live with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and that girl Teresa. I'm going to break them out feeling classic like a Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa.
No, it's like two artists in one. Like the Mona Lisa was painted by Monet. The Monet Lisa. That's how smart that guy is.
Robert, I'm sure that's the direction he was heading. Robert from Riverside.
Hey, what's going on?
What do you got for us, Robert?
Well, I'm getting married in August. I've already got two bachelor parties lined up, so I thought a third might be in order. But my talent is I got a lot of Irish in me. Can beer bong 10 beers at one time.
Okay, I've got some Irish in me, and I want to put it in someone else. How do you handle that for me?
Put right it in his beer bong.
Look, Robert, how's your freestyle rap?
I'm sorry?
He's Irish. Of course you can rap. Robert, you can do 10 beer. You can do a 10-beer beer bong.
Yeah, if you got the big beer bong, I got the big belly.
How long does it take you to do a 10-beer beer bong?
I would say it's about 45 seconds or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're drinking over a six-pack, obviously. And I mean, almost a 12-pack in under a minute.
That's correct.
What happens to you then?
I pretty much like to party hard for about a half hour and then probably throw up and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Perfect. Because
in the background.
He gets one of his frat boys. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens there, though, is he does the talent and we get to see it and go, oh, wow. But then it's one less penis when he passes out.
I see. He eliminates himself.
Yeah, which is perfect.
That's true, but I'll make up all the partying in the half hour.
I don't want you to make up anything. I want you to pass out and die and go over in the corner and let me get more checks.
Let me be fair. It's one less penis on the dance floor, but an extra one on his forehead written by Jimmy Kimmel with a Sharpie.
That's true, okay.
When you pass out, we lose a penis competition-wise.
But gain a canvas.
But you gain a penis to your back via a Sharpie or magic marker. Because that's the way. I've said it before about Kimmel. You say what you will about the guy. Maybe not the greatest late night host. Maybe not the funniest guy. Maybe not the best looking guy. Nobody draws the male phallus like Jimmy Kimmel. And sure, you can sit around in your colleges with your thumb out wearing your beret and knock out a penis over the course of a semester. He does it in the heat of battle.
Right.
I mean, he does it with disco balls rolling, with music pumping, guys yelling, come on, he's going to wake up, we got to move, or we don't know this guy, he's going to kill us. Anyways, Jimmy will crank out a Sharpie-driven penis on your forehead, on your belly, on your back. You won't even feel it. It'll be like one of those kung fu movies where a guy goes, I'll reach into your chest cavity, I'll be holding your heart, and you can watch it before you hit
kind
the ground.
Kind of like what I said to deaf frat guy.
Yes.
I pull out your deaf ass brain, and I look at it before you die.
That's right. Kimmel, the ninja penis drawing,
we'll
draw a penis on your forehead, and you won't even see it. You won't even feel it. You won't know it's there until the next morning when you'll see it reversed
or
in the mirror, and he'll account for that.
Because you were hungover, you may have skipped the mirror, and you won't know till your first class, your first job. You know, you had to run out the door because you were so drunk.
Right.
You had to fly out the door like I did this morning.
Sure.
Had I been drunk last night and Kimmel been over, you'd be all holding back the laughter from the penises all over
maybe
my face.
Maybe not to the 30th kid enters your school bus will it be brought to your attention
right
the following morning. That's right. So I'm saying you pass out, let one less penis on the dance floor, right. One extra one on your forehead via Kimmel. Chris?
Yes.
Okay, where are the chicks, man?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, Chris, I'm excited to talk to you, but just a call to the sisters. I don't want to be the only woman there, and Danny needs Mrs. Bonaducci.
There we go. Hold on. He put his...
You got a girl?
He put his sister Christina on the phone.
Christina, how are you?
Christina, exactly. What are you going to wear to the bachelor party to impress Danny? Whatever.
Well, I got to wear man's clothes because I'm a man, unfortunately.
The appropriate answer is Mr. Bonaducci's fluids.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can be Mr. Bonaducci's fluids. There you go, Danny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can be Danny's bodyguard. And
yeah, because that's what I need.
Yeah. Well, come on now. I'm 6'2", 235.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be Evan's beatbox.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could throw the beat down and he could rap.
Ah, I see. Let's well, throw a little,
yeah.
Throw a little beat down. Let's hear what
all right,
you
here
got.
We go. Man, I'm going to put it down because I'm a big money folder. Catch me on the radio live with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and that girl Teresa. I'm going to break them out feeling classic like a Moni Lisa. Like that.
This worked, Brian.
And, hey,
for the first half of that, I was like, wow, Evan's sounding good, and he's coming. I didn't even really realize Brian had queued that up.
And that's talent. I'm driving to work.
I see.
Now.
So you're beatboxing with no hands.
Wow. No
hands.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely amazing, Evan.
It is.
Wow.
No, that's Chris now.
What work are you... Oh, sorry, Chris. What work are you heading to?
I'm going to... an undisclosed location doing electrical work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm an electrician.
You do commercial work?
Yes, prevailing wage.
Good times.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. We'll put you on hold. You're in.
All right.
He is.
You look. You know why?
I'll
tell you why. Because
so
it's early. Because it's early, and I'm feeling vulnerable, and we don't have anyone else on the roster yet.
Okay.
And it's one of these things. It's like any talent competition. The first year, five people show up and you're all in. And then season five, when it's a big hit and 5,000 people show up, nobody makes the cut.
Well, I've got an important question for Danny.
Well,
first,
I've got some help there, but ask your question.
Well, first I want to say admission is free. People keep asking me, do you have to buy a ticket?
I would say get there early because I'm hoping this is popular.
Get there early.
It's at 7 and we start broadcasting.
Right.
So I'd say by 6.
Get there by 6 probably. We're going to be broadcasting 7
to 11. It's right by Gil Turner's on Sunset Boulevard in Doheny. You can't miss it.
That being said, what are your qualifications? And I'm asking you an honest question for Mrs. Bonaducci.
There is, in my opinion, if you are physically attractive, that's the first thing. There's just no way I'm marrying somebody I'm not physically attracted to. Sex is too important. Then I'll cheat and I'll get divorced. And now we're down to a quarter of my money and now I'm broke.
Right.
So there's got to be a physical attraction. I will tell you in all sincerity, I won't tell you what they are, but I was talking to someone about this. I could ask an attractive woman that I was physically attracted to 7 questions. And if she answered 5 of them the way I liked, not necessarily right.
Right.
Just the way I liked, I could marry her then.
Mm-hmm. Do you have these questions written down somewhere?
You want to know how easy they are?
Yeah.
You want me to give you a question?
Yeah.
This will give you a complete shock that this will be one of them.
Okay.
Do you exercise your right to vote? Would be one of the questions.
That would be a deal breaker,
Said, no, you don't, and you're over, say, 25, I would never, ever consider marrying you.
That's a really good question.
It's a privilege to live in this country.
Right. It says a lot about a person, whether or not they vote.
I take that real seriously.
That's good. What's really? The second question?
I don't want to give them all away, but let me give a concept. I would also ask about animals, how you feel about animals. Probably ask about children, you know, things like that. But one that would for sure be that I didn't think you'd ever guess would be, do you exercise your right to vote? The other thing would be, I would never put you on the spot and say, who's your favorite author? Because I read. Right. I really like to read. Yeah. Too much trouble. What will impress him?
Right. Yeah.
Who do I really like? Because I've read a lot of books. I don't know that I like this guy best. So I'd say, name one of your top 20 favorite authors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you went Mark Twain, you're good with me. Mm-hmm. If you went Homer, you're good with me, although I hated both those books, but you got to read them to be well read.
Right.
So that one's an easy one. They're pretty easy. But the trick is, for me, as I understand people, they don't change dramatically. Mm-hmm. Like, say you're the girl, and I say, do you exercise your right to vote? And you say, yes. And I say, name your favorite author, and you say, Mark Twain. And I say, how do you feel about pets? And you say, I really like it, but to be honest, if we live somewhere where it snowed, I wouldn't want one that I had to dig out and walk. That's smart thinking ahead, as far as I'm concerned. I'd marry you. Fine. She'll do. She's not going to get, look at her. She's pretty. She answered those questions just right. She'll do. Mm-hmm. So, I won't be legally divorced. So I won't be marrying anyone that night, but I bet I could find her. I bet money I could find her. And here's the bonus round. And I want to make sure, because this is my part of town, I'll bet there's 100 people there that I know. So I don't want to give anything like, it's rigged. They know each other, they're friends back in high school or something. But I get my first vacation alone, and I'm terrified. It's not how I travel. When I travel,
so
it's
to
do... So
is the island of Hawaii, by the way.
Yes, they are. When I travel, I travel one of two ways, to do a television show, which means everything's completely covered. A car is at my door. I get in it. He says, what airline? And I say, how the hell would I know?
Right.
So he looks at a piece of paper that he knows. He takes me there. He gives me my ticket. Or I look lost, and they come up and they say, oh, Mr. Bonaducci. And they give me my ticket. Then they walk me to the gate. I get on a plane, and there's another guy to meet me. I mean, everything's set.
Mm-hmm.
The other time I travel is with my wife, who is better than that. Mm-hmm. She's completely organized. Everything's waiting and done. I've taken one trip that I was in control of, and my wife said to me, the car will be here tomorrow at 4. And I said, what car?
Right.
And she said, to take you to the airport. And I said, oh, what am I doing? Assuming the Today Show or something like that. She goes, you're taking your 10-year-old to Tokyo? And I said, what?
Really?
Yeah. I planned
this
out.
You thought you were doing the Today Show?
Yeah. And we
in
got
Tokyo?
We got to the Nagoya Airport, and I speak Japanese, but I was surprised at how fast they speak. But it's been 25 or 30 years since I was married to that girl and spoke every day. So I had to say, instead of, where is this, I'd like say whatever this was and then say doko, which just means where.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's completely remedial. And they'd answer so fast I wouldn't understand, and then it would kick in for me to say, dozo, yukuri hanashite kudasai, please speak more slowly. To which they'd nod, and then speak at 100 miles an hour. I was useless.
Mm-hmm.
My 10-year-old, it turned out there was a car there with my name on it, so we got to the hotel. But my 10-year-old figured out the train system. We went everywhere. She just figured it out.
You just went on a vacation to Japan?
Yeah, because your daughter likes anime.
My daughter has been, it started with anime, but it stayed. Yep. You know, when you're 3, and you'll get this, your kids are going to want something more than life itself, and they can't have it.
Well, Speed Racer was a Japanese cartoon I mentioned I liked. But I feel like if the Speed Racer headquarters was in Van Nuys and we lived in North Hollywood, I would have never seen it.
No, but this is the thing. Because with me,
Speed Racer's house, where he lived with Pops and Spritel and Trixie and Chim Chim. Racer X was his brother. Now, let me tell you what happened. Racer X, before his 18th birthday, stole one of Pops Racer's cars.
This is amazing.
In the race. He was winning that race.
Right.
He would have won that race, but he got into an accident the very last lap. When Pops came after him, he took off. He then became Racer X.
We're having a ball.
Speed never knew Racer X was his long-lost brother, but he always had a guardian angel.
I'm in Tokyo.
By the name of Racer X.
I'm lost.
This is absolutely spectacular.
So you're in Tokyo. You're running around.
No, so we get those. Everything's fine. She kind of figures out the trains enough, and we find the other thing that actually I didn't like a lot. There's no street crime of any kind.
In Tokyo.
In Tokyo. So she's 10. And everybody says, yeah, you can leave her in a room and go out. Of course you can. Like I'm an insane person for even thinking I couldn't.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Shibuya, the big, essentially their Times Square, but it looks way bigger on TV. It's not nearly as big as Times Square. And I got there, and I had quit drinking by this point. I don't know if I made it all the way through. It might have been a relapse since then, but I wasn't drinking at the time. And I remember I got there, and it's New York City, and it's Times Square, and I'm standing at the very beginning of it, and I feel like really powerful. I'm
Wait a minute, are we? We're in Tokyo. Yeah. It's not Times Square.
It's okay. Their Times Square. It's the one you see on TV and all the lights. It's just a lot smaller.
Right.
It looks big, like Godzilla.
It's right.
Like, yeah, big. So I get there and I'm feeling really tough, and there's lots of stuff going on. And then it dawns on me, I don't drink, and there's no such thing as street crime. Nothing's going to happen to me here. So I got back in a cab and went home.
Boring.
Yeah, if you're not going to get rolled, why travel?
Well, the way I look at life, if some poor dumb bastard's not going to try and roll me,
yes,
what's the point?
If you'd use my invention, the money bandana, not the money belt. Mm-hmm. But the money bandana, the one you wear on your head,
right?
Yeah, I think you would have upped your chances of getting rolled.
Here's what I took from that story.
Money belt.
Which began with your then wife, Gretchen, still your wife,
still my
technically.
Wife. And best friend, she took such good care of me yesterday. Do you know, she set up a good date for me because I didn't know how to do it. She picked out a restaurant.
Well,
that's nice.
By the way, speaking of dates, Joe from Oakland has a girl for Danny.
See, now we're talking.
Yes. I hope she's read Huck Finn and can work a spreadsheet.
I hope she's read and can spread.
So listen, listen, for those of you just tuned in, we're going to Japan for a bachelor party. Joe?
With Razor X.
Yeah. With Razor X. Joe?
It sparkles.
You got a girl for Danny?
Yes.
Like a for real girl?
For a real girl, real cute. She's my buddy's ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. We're all in a band together, and she's nuts, just like Danny.
Mm-hmm. And, that's not what Danny's looking for. Didn't you hear what he said? He wants Huck Finn and voting.
That's not completely true.
All right.
Because...
Yeah, I've heard Danny a lot, and I know he's looking for somebody who, has some character, shall we say.
Okay, yeah.
She's not boring.
When she jumps out of the closet with a pair of scissors saying, I'll kill you,
which
is approximately once a month, she has to have backup. She just has to. She has to have earned those stripes. Right. She can't just be a nut. She's got to be really smart, and she's got to have a lot going for her for me to put up with the scissors.
Yeah, we don't want street thug. We want Bond villain.
Oh, right?
No, not at all.
Beautifully.
She's a sweetheart.
We'll
really
get one every once in a while. Joe, yes, she's beautiful. Yeah. She's smart.
She's beautiful. She's a blonde, about 5'4" or 5'5".
Fine.
She's well read. Right.
Yes. Very smart girl, and. She's a musician. She plays a lot of different. We were in a punk Celtic band. So she played. Oh, she plays bagpipes.
Please, you and everyone else.
She plays bagpipes.
Plays bagpipes.
That's a woman who is. That's a woman who is used to squeezing a sack with her elbow till screaming.
But
comes
here's the whole thing.
Perfect.
Let me explain. I've seen Korn enough to know when you play the bagpipes at a funeral. In New York, I can barely tell if you can play the bagpipes. When you're doing punk bagpipes, it's like I backed over bagpipes in a station wagon.
It's progressive jazz. It's five guys playing different songs out of tune.
Everybody with wind in their lungs can play punk bagpipes. That's you just blowing your brains out into bagpipes and jumping up and down.
But that's the first girl, though.
Little corn for you. Hey, Joe?
Yes, sir.
You're in. Bring the chick,
right,
though.
But bring the chick and have her bring the bagpipes.
Yeah. Do you think she'll bring the bagpipes?
Mm-hmm. She will.
Matter of fact, if she doesn't bring the bagpipes, she's not in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she'll bring them. And she'll be in a plaid miniskirt.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll narrow it down.
All right, she can blow into Bonaducci's bagpipes. Only got one inlet.
Okay, man.
All right, baby doll. We'll see you on the 31st. We need to take a break.
And then more chicks for me, or what Mr. Gorilla says.
right. Well, always more chicks for Danny. When we come back, I ran into a guy when I was in New York in Tribeca a couple weeks ago with the movie premiere. His name is Max. Max Gray is his name. He said, I want to be an intern. I want to be a writer intern on your show. I want to write jokes. And he was 18 or 19. A lot of chutzpah, this kid, though.
Yeah,
came right
I
up to
that.
Me. And I said, anyone who wants to do anything for free can come do it. If you come up to me and go, I'll tell the story when we get back, but the way I got into show business, the reason I'm sitting here today is because I said I will do this for free. People don't realize how rich you can get doing stuff for free. Not that day,
right.
Not that week,
but you're sure
time
you're
passes quickly and you can get rich doing stuff for free. So I like the cut of this kid's jib. We'll interview him on the air next.
What's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Ring the bell, school's in, suckers. Today we'll talk to David Alan Greer and Donny Osmond. Same guy. And T's gonna drop a bombshell about her dating life. Hey, you didn't hear it from the Jackman, but word on the street is she's not really 29. But I'd still hit that.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have young Maxwell Gray in studio.
Good morning, Mr. Carolla.
Good morning, Maxwell. Now, how did we meet, Maxwell, and why are you here?
Why am I here? I'm a fan of the show, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you guys talking about a movie premiere that you had at Tribeca, and I go to school in New York.
Okay.
University.
Mm-hmm. It goes to my alma mater.
Oh, yeah.
NYU.
Mm-hmm. So I figured I would try to go to the movie. I wanted to see it anyway.
Right.
And I love the show, so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you like the movie?
It was an interesting film. It was real funny.
Oh.
See, this kid's got problems with me already. And that wasn't it, by the way.
It's like, but do you want an ass kisser? Or do you
I think that's a good question. But here's your problem with me right off the bat. I walk in the door, and here's what I hear Teresa say. No, relax. He's really a very nice guy.
Well, I was just noticing
you. Already, like, you need to be warned that I'm not just going to flip out and kill you.
Could have been talking about me.
He's nervous. You know, he's a fan of the show.
This is my first time on the radio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with my personal behavior towards you? You seem like a fine young man. I'm rooting for you.
You seem like a nice guy. You have an interesting odor. That's all I said.
Interesting odor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're gonna have to run this by me.
It was like a menthol type of thing. It was nice.
Oh, menthol.
Oh, it's my cough drops. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now you go.
Interesting odor is not a good way to start an interview.
Good.
But he wants to be an intern, not a communicator.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Where were we? Yeah. So the movie. Now you gave a was interesting answer to the movie.
Well, I mean, you were hilarious. Mm-hmm. True star of the show was Ozzy, clearly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you if you guys have seen it.
All right, true star
I've
of the show.
Yes.
Man's
right.
Going places.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really travel all the way out here for this?
I live in L.A.
Okay.
You live in L.A., but you go to school
go
in
to
New
school
York.
In New York, yeah.
And what are you studying?
What am I saying?
Etiquette.
And I'm going towards maybe the music business, music industry. I don't know.
Do you have an 8-ball in your pocket? Because if not, you failed. You just failed the music industry.
Because I noticed from your resume that you go to the Gallatin School, and I believe that's the school without walls within NYU.
Yeah, you create your own major.
Yeah, that's why I asked what your major is.
Right now, it's called Arts and Consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vague title, but maybe I'm looking at some like hip-hop philosophy type courses that I'm going to get to, and a little bit of business school. I get around. I'm just trying to play with my interests.
Look at Adam's face right now.
You create your own a school without walls.
Yeah, you create. My roommate was in Gallatin.
It's called your front yard, by the way. School without walls.
Cannot get a degree in your front yard.
You need a wall so a guy can have an office so he can make the degree and give it to you.
If I'm not mistaken, you have to read 100 great books.
There are certain. It's based on. I don't know.
By the way, I did that. That's how I educated myself. I picked 100 of what other people thought to be the greatest books ever written.
I'm reading
some. And I read them in one sitting. It took almost a decade, but I read them all. So I have to think that's really noble.
I appreciate it,
Now, were you hooked up to a catheter? How did you do that?
I lived on the back of a boat, and I had no money and was jacked up on blow for a decade. And I got bored with being... First, I married some chick that worked really hard, figuring I'd trade America. She was a Japanese girl, and she was going to be deported. And I figure I'll trade America... this really hardworking woman in exchange for this loser drug addict. I thought it was a patriotic act on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I married her, and she had her, you know, the second we married, she went away.
Paying taxes is a nice patriotic act.
You know,
yeah. I once in a while.
Well, I did. I paid her taxes.
Okay.
I watched her pay her taxes, which is interesting. She can barely speak English.
That counts as paying taxes, watching other people pay their taxes.
You feel like the reverse effect, like that you're trying to make
I donate
better.
My time to work with at-risk youth. Well, actually, I watch people working with that.
Her family owned four apartment buildings in Tokyo.
That's right.
But it was very demeaning, really, in a way, to watch a woman who barely spoke the language figure out and pay her own taxes on one of those forms.
Uh-huh.
This was a quality of human being in certain ways.
We're born in this country and can't figure it out ourselves.
Right. That's how I read the 100 books. When she left, I just realized I was useless. So I started with my own family. And then wrote to people, said, what are the 3 most important books in your life? And when I got to 100 books, I just sat and I read them for the next day.
And that's why you want to intern on the Adam Carolla show?
That's why.
This is Max's time.
No, well, Asian women are interesting. I don't know exactly what he was talking about. It sounded... I've read books and I enjoy reading books.
All right. So Maxwell, let me try to figure this out. So Maxwell saw me at my movie premiere
Did a little bit of finagling to get backstage.
Which you I seem to find you lukewarm on my movie.
No, I mean, the movie was great. I would just, yes. I don't know. It was it had an independent feel.
It is independent.
Yeah, no, it was. It wasn't trying to be anything that it wasn't.
You wanted it to be a blockbuster.
Right, but Vomit has that warm, chunky feel. Mm-hmm. It describes it accurately, but I wouldn't want it necessarily as a review of my restaurant.
Sure, there were some romantic aspects in the movie that seemed a little bit forced.
No, that was the best part.
Teresa and I differ in our opinions.
That's all good, right. Though. That's good radio, buddy.
Yeah, no.
Well, now, Max,
Teresa and I differ in our species. So,
I'm going to start to work on my thumbnail sketch of you for a moment. Kyle, phone screener Kyle, said you threw around a little tood when you were calling the show, when you're trying to get through. Now, there's this weird sort of thing that goes on, and I'll give Maxwell a chance to work his way out of this. Sometimes when people are a little bit nervous, or they're a little bit anxious, or they're a little bit excited, they'll try to diffuse it with a little bit of humor, and thus you get a little inappropriate ball busting going on.
Right.
So it feels like, well, on one hand, this guy's got some chutzpah. On the other hand, he's a little out of line. On the other hand, maybe he's a little bit nervous, and that's just the way he reacts. So, you know, he talks about Danny's odor. He's got a little critique of my movie. But Kyle,
remember
on
the
phone, how did you, you threw a little attitude around with Kyle on the phone.
I figured it'd be difficult to actually get to this point where I could get an interview. So good, bad, or otherwise, I wanted to be remembered and noticed by Kyle.
Right, but I talked to you in New York, and I said you could come in and interview for a writing intern job that we don't even have, but who cares? Because the deal is if we're not paying you, there's always an open position.
But always
don't sneak any notes over there.
Sorry.
I don't mean to make you more
What's
nervous.
That note say?
It's for the news tease upcoming to have Brian
But I will tell
news.
You this, in all sincerity, I was very close to being one of the untouchables, and Adam Carolla took notice of me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like a gazillionaire.
That's right.
Okay, so like I wouldn't take this shot too lightly. I would really think about, is the chutzpah thing what I'm going for? Or do I want to just be as much me as possible?
Right, I mean, I want to get in the door, obviously.
Well, you're and in.
Now
the rest
I'm
up
in.
To you, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, I really did enjoy the movie. I brought a friend. I've told friends about it. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think you can add to the Corolla show? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I have some solid ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think I understand the humor.
Give us some comedy ideas
for
the show.
First of all, speaking about Ozzy, I talked about him earlier. I think you need to incorporate him a little bit more into the show. Maybe do like a little bit of an advice segment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe play him along with the Angel Adam Devil Danny. You could do Oswaldo the Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the Knowledgeable Nicaraguan.
Mm.
It'd be funny.
Alliteration. I like that.
Yeah.
It's good radio.
Now, but interestingly enough, so you would do that instead of the Angel Adam Devil Danny
maybe,
thing?
Maybe some sort of where you guys could translate and give your advice, because I think the advice is the most solid portion of this show. You guys have
That's
a lot of wisdom
funny.
Between the two
All
of
right.
you.
Okay,
the reason I would say that is just because we just did testing of our things we do, what people like, and Angel Adam Devil Danny came back number one. So coming in and fixing that. Why not?
I'm saying incorporate.
But translating Oswaldo's advice is very funny. That's a nice, I'll give him that. That was an interesting idea.
I mean, there are
idea.
A lot of things you could do with Oswaldo. You could put him on the street, send him to exotic locations within Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like the like a Dora Explorer, or maybe like the Mexican Kuhlhauser.
Okay.
Something
okay.
like that.
I like it.
Oswaldo in Little Ethiopia, maybe somewhere like Koreatown or something.
Hold
man on the
Lynch,
street.
You're out.
That's
we found somebody who can do what you do.
A few ideas kicking around.
Getting off to a good start.
I know you have the bachelor party coming up, Danny's bachelor party.
Any ideas for the bachelor party?
We could
party.
Do some sort of transvestite challenge where the transvestites fight against the women to see who gets a date with Danny.
Now, when you say fight against?
Maybe some sort of intellectual challenge or to see test the femininity.
Mm-hmm.
We can play around with
Sounds
it.
Funny, but probably practically going to be sort of hard to pull off.
Like who can walk better in heels, that kind of thing?
Perhaps. I'm not so in touch with the...
Well, you know what?
The hell kind of 19-year-old uses the word perhaps.
Perhaps.
The only reason I will give you that, and it didn't work, but I've seen it done so many times, people that make a living in this business think that is funny.
Mm-hmm.
We did the entire other half in drag. Mm-hmm. Me, Dick Clark, Mario, always in those heels, yeah. always seeing if we could do what women could do. Can we make bacon in 6-inch heels? So there
Doesn't
are
Dick
people.
Clark have enough FU money to get out of heels at age 71?
There's not enough you FU money hope. In the world to get Dick Clark out of show business. It ain't going to happen.
All right.
So and, I'm with that, even though I personally right. see it's been done, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
West Hollywood.
Well, he's
a lot
saying
of
he's saying tranny, I mean, not. Us dressed up right. in high heels, but right. guys no, who do it for a living.
We did gays yeah. against straight in, it's kind of a gay walking, really. Mm-hmm. We did gays against straight in who knows more about what, sports versus whatever.
Right.
It's that kind of idea. It's a good bit. Right. Just, we what already else? Do it, but it's a good bit.
Keep going, Max.
Other things, I don't know, maybe you guys could consider top radio hits. I know you guys do a lot of the Music Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could look at like the top songs. I know you did a little bit of a spiel on My Humps, I've heard, and mm-hmm. the other day you were talking about the song about rehab, something like that.
Wait a second. You said spiel.
Yes.
Your
yeah,
I am a Jew. Gray.
Oh, mm-hmm. What about Joel Gray?
That's
originally,
good point.
Originally Gervitz.
I knew it.
Uh-huh.
Gray is not a name you're
this
born
This is
with.
Amazing.
I like to tell people it was changed at Ellis Island, but my dad just mm-hmm. wanted to get better jobs.
See, yeah. like that. What is that right there? Do you have up. A good story?
Oh, yeah.
I got shot once, and when I tell the story, she shot me in the chest, but in real life, she shot me in the armpit.
You never tell that story.
But it's not nearly, like, who cares?
Well,
but
you take one to you the chest. You can get into your chest or your armpit.
You could, yeah. but it didn't. It was a little flesh wound. But still, I tell a great story. The Ellis Island story is a great, that's radio. You got to paint a picture.
I no one was shot.
So really, it was Fire exactly Island, but you just upgraded it? And your family, his family was so gay, they originally landed in Fire Island.
They were so embarrassed they had to change their name to Gray because it rhymed.
Yeah. Jews gays cut from the same cloth.
That's true.
Dude, are you gay?
Both need a washing. Jewish, changed to Gray. Now, what did your dad do, or what does your dad
do? He's a car dealer.
That's the whole thing. When you're 19, it's like, what did your dad do? He's 37. He's just entering a career in dentistry.
He's working some things out.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother.
What kind of cars does your dad deal?
You'd be quite interested. He has the auto gallery in Woodland Hills.
All right,
no
get
way.
Him in here.
That's his.
What
your,
kind of
your
cars
Your first
are
job's in here is to get your dad in here so we can talk cars.
You have money. That's a very serious place.
I'm generally pretty
good. Do you know that place? You might have moved since then. Where's his dad's dealership?
Yeah, I know where
that's
it is.
That's big money, man.
Sure.
They're by the Calabasas exit. That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
There's a Audi, Porsche, Ferrari dealership.
You're in.
Yeah. Mm. Auto gallery. I bought a car from the auto gallery, as a matter of fact. And you make me sick now. We just turned the corner.
I know.
This place is not a car dealership. It is 20,000 square foot of Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini. It's not like you go in there, you know, let's put it this way. It makes a Jaguar or Range Rover dealership look like fast food compared to fine dining. I mean, you head into a place that sells just Aston Martins and Range Rovers and you go, wow, this is a nice dealership. This is a couple steps below that. This is, we sell cars
that are
$650,000, not $85,000.
Well, philosophically, do you want your intern to come from a place of privilege or a struggling, poor intern?
I want him to come from the mean streets and be hungry.
See, not me.
I live in the city.
See, not me. I want to take the nice kid that came from comfort and beat him into submission.
Casey?
Yeah.
You're calling from San Diego?
Yeah, I'm down in beautiful San Diego.
What do you say about budding intern Maxwell?
I'm sick of hearing this guy stumble. Can you turn off his microphone, please?
Oh, he's just a kid.
Leave Danny alone.
Max, how old are you exactly, did you say?
I'm 19.
19.
Yeah, don't
he's never been on the radio before. Casey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing pretty well for his first time.
Okay. I'll give it a bit.
All right, well, here's the thing. Thanks, Casey. Casey, is this your first time on the... he just hung up.
Come on.
That's his first time.
Are you wearing one earphone on and one earphone off?
I couldn't hear the call.
Oh, you know what? That little thing right there, that knob is your volume. You can turn it up. See?
Oh, see?
I should have told you that.
Unless you do that, they become earmuffs. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's not good.
But you figured it out. He took the one can off his ear.
No.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's like if you couldn't breathe because you had a paper sack over your head, you'd remove it.
Yeah, good learning curve.
yeah, but you can get that in the animal kingdom.
Not Max, those thumbs.
Maxwell Alexander Gray. So we saw each other over at Tribeca. You're a fan of this show?
Huge fan.
Huge fan of this show.
Listen to it over the podcast, actually.
Ah, you came over, you saw the movie.
Number one podcasted show in America, by the way.
You enjoyed the movie. Although you thought the budget was a little low.
And that perhaps you were upstaged by Oswaldo.
All right. Other than that, you enjoyed the movie.
Good flick.
You talked about wanting to be a writer. And I will say this, and I can tell you're a little bit nervous and you're trying to be funny. Right. And sometimes when you're a little bit nervous, you're trying to be funny. It's like when you're out on your first date, you end up saying something. That
usually I'm sorry that never happened to me before.
Maybe offends. I'm fine. I like the chutzpah.
Me too.
Your dad works at a place that sells Ferraris to Coke dealers. I love that. And
probably honors the money personally.
I was driving past the place your dad owns about a week ago and just popped my head in just to see what was going on and looked at a Ferrari 599 and said, what's this baby go for? Factory's looking for low fours, but we're looking for mid six. That's the beauty of Ferrari. Oh yes. When you don't understand, people go, who the hell would spend $600,000 for a car? Well, why don't you ask everyone who's in line?
Right.
And who's on the list.
Absolutely.
And who won't make the cut.
And you know what the reverse of that is, which is really weird. I'm looking for a new place to live. And, of course, luckily we have people that give mortgages right here on this station. But you can only have that kind of leeway also with homes. I'm looking to spend, I don't know, between $800,000 and $1 million. So if something says 949, I was out with this girl who's never bought a home before. I said, that means 910. 949 doesn't mean 949 at all.
Mm-hmm.
It never. That's a $30,000 window that you just get to dick around with. That just seems wrong.
Well, that's
and
how,
more if you have the chutzpah to say I'll give you seven for it.
But you see, it just depends. Like, you know, when you see a Toyota and they want $8,000 for it, that means $6,500.
Right.
But you see a Ferrari and the sticker's $200,000, that could mean $300,000. A
but
lot of
Max
people
a
pay
Ferrari?
More.
Good call. Thank you, Steve.
Let's put it this way. He's a Ferrari, but he doesn't have, he only has a coat of primer on him.
Right.
And the engine has not been tuned and the upholstery's not done in the interior yet. He's a Ferrari 10 years from now when he rolls out of the factory in Italy. But not quite yet, but that's all right, because we get to drive him for free.
Right. Because that was giving me my question. That was giving me my question. Are you saying that he's going to be a Ferrari in the car industry when he rolls out in his dad's business? Or is there a window and or door opening here that could change his whole life?
I mean, you can drive me around the block for a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a permanent position.
I'm gay.
T can have a little May-December action. What we like to call a tune-up before she gets back together with old boyfriend.
Now, how far would you go for this show?
Third base?
Maybe for money, I would do pretty much anything.
If it was as an internship. If you can't get the money, how far would you go today for this job?
About Reseda?
I like that.
The guy writes jokes. I don't know what the hell we need
him
to do.
And I need you, if you work here, I need you to be respectful of phone screener Kyle.
Oh.
He will be above you.
My sincerest apologies,
Kyle. In fact, your first order of business will be to go get him a coffee.
I don't
like
you.
Done and done.
All right.
I like that. Not too much pride to go say sorry and get a man a cup of coffee. I do that all the time.
I worry about the precocious Maxwell, but again, for free, what do I got to worry about besides him shooting us all in the hallway?
I'll see it from now.
Like my grandma used to say, free and worth every penny.
That's right. So
see,
Maxwell,
free and overpaid.
You're on.
He's on?
But what do we care? I'm not paying him.
But still, I mean,
this show runs
like a badly oiled machine as it is.
Gum up the works.
Here's the thing, young Maxwell.
I don't know if you've noticed, we kind of suck sometimes. You want to throw some weirdo in.
I will promise you, we already did that about 4 months ago.
What are you guys referring to?
I will say this, young Maxwell. If I hear any reports about you overstepping your boundaries, I am the Iceman. I will pull the plug on you, and there's not enough tears and not enough please, Mr. Carollas, to ever make me lose one wink of sleep. Here's
I'm
my
explosive.
Here's my philosophy. Yes, ask
how dare you,
young Billy. I only feel sorry for people who are victimized, not for people who victimize themselves. If somebody comes up and puts a shiv in your side when you're getting me more coffee, I will feel very bad for you. If you stick it in your own side via something you say, some attitude you throw around, somebody you cross the line with, you're done as fast as you say it, and I do not care at all. Okay. Anybody who sabotages themselves, I have zero sympathy because it was at their own hands.
I want to say two things about that. One, if you get shivved while getting Mr. Carolla his coffee, and you still make it back in here with his coffee before you hit the dirt, huge plus points.
Yes, you don't spill any coffee.
Yeah,
while getting shit. Right.
But I did want to say, did you notice, you know, I'm all full of bravado. You asked Teresa, what's Danny really like? Did you notice how quickly I shut up when he explained to you what the real deal is? That's the real deal.
I completely
If it
understand.
Ever comes back to Adam that you thought you were somebody special and talked down to somebody, that would be the last we ever saw you.
In all
Richie,
honesty.
Rich.
I would rather you do it to me, really, honestly.
Because then he'll tell me to kill you.
That's right.
There's no end to the amount of respect and admiration I had for both Adam and this show.
Well, the important thing is the admiration you have for the hardworking people on the front lines, like Phone Screener Kyle.
That are making $8 an hour.
Right.
Kyle and I talk after the show.
That's right. You be nice to Kyle.
His
All
dad
right.
fixes the fancy cars that your dad sells.
We're not actually just us Dodge.
Yeah, he's not even allowed near them.
That's right.
Did you have that guy near him ever? Gain? No chance.
You're a homo.
Let's actually, Kyle should start wearing one of those hair nets and beards to do beard nets to answer the phones. That'd be humiliating. I'd like to look through that glass and pretend he was in surgical scrubs. Let me say this quickly before we go to break. I know we're running
woefully late,
but I'll be very quick. Piece of information for all you young people that don't want to work for free. Working for free isn't for free. There's a payday.
Sure.
What's college, for Christ's sake? You pay them, and then 4 years later, 6 years later, 8 years later, you leave with a degree that says doctor or dentist or lawyer or what have you on it, and then you go out and make an S load of money. Being an intern is about the same thing, except for A, you don't have to pay like you have to pay for college, and B, it doesn't take 8 years. It could take a year and a half before you get a position.
And history proves Adam out on this. Up until about the 40s, I don't know if it's the case anymore because of inheritance, but up until, say, the 40s or 50s, most billionaires started working for nothing. They glammed on to, who's the guy that made the car trip? The Pullman? Guy glammed on to the Pullman guy, and pretty soon he was the head of Pullman Trains, and
the
he worked
train
for free.
Guy.
Yeah.
I
Otis Elevator, same story.
Otis Elevator. I always picture a fat, drunken black man who's playing a cider jug who made the elevator. I'm going to the 55th floor. And I myself got into this business sort of in a roundabout way, but it's essentially because I interned. I went to a boxing gym in West L.A. I walked in. I said, how about I teach boxing? They said, how about no? I said, but I think I could be good at it. And they said, well, we don't care if you think you could be good at it. We have ex-world champions here who looks good on their card when they say WBC light middleweight champ or light heavyweight or whatever, teaching class as opposed to schmo from the valley. I said, well, I bet you need some stuff done around here, and I'm a carpenter. They said, all right, now I'm listening.
Right.
I said, I will do things around here for less than half of what I normally get paid, and all you have to do is let me try to teach a class. If I'm no good at it, I'll pack my tools and I'll leave. They said, fine, and then they said, as a matter of fact, we're building a gym in Pasadena. If you want to build that gym, then you can teach at that gym.
Wow.
So I worked for next to nothing building a gym in Pasadena for the privilege of teaching boxing at 6:30 in the morning, which I used to think was an ungodly hour. Now I long for
those days.
For $20 a class times six or seven classes a week with taxes taken out. Well, you just do the math on that one.
Unless you're a boxer and can't.
But it was about a year and a half later, I met Jimmy Kimmel, brought him to said gym, and the rest is history. So humble beginnings, willing to work for free or next to it for the payday of an opportunity.
Mine's a tad shorter. I just go up and say, I used to be on the Partridge Family and now I'm all washed up. Can you help me? And then sometimes they take pity.
Young Maxwell.
Mr. Carolla.
You're in.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
So it's an honor, honestly.
All right. Go knock yourself out, kid. Start with the coffee cup. And a real celebrity dag coming up in a few minutes. First, we'll do the news, but we'll come back with a best of dag crank yanker call, which you all enjoy so much. So, T, give us a news. Give us a tease for the news.
Paula Abdul broke her nose.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do a face plant.
Mm-hmm. More on that.
Good
More
times on. And crank yankers next.
It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Don't cry. Hold it back.
If you said Red Dawn...
Don't cry! Hold it back!
You are correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
2 hours of Swayze yelling, don't cry. What's an acting tour de force? Please go rent Red Dawn, everybody.
That was his Hold it back!
And that was even before the Russians invaded. That was just him in his high school.
He's in Jersey.
Just sitting around doing nothing. All righty. Well, we're running woefully behind, so let's keep this party train a rolling.
Before, my fault, and I apologize.
Before, that's all right. Before we get to the news, David Alan Greer, dag. My favorite and only black friend.
Hey, Adam.
We'll be in a couple of few, so we thought, in honor of David paying us a visit, we would play a Crank Yanker song from the Crank Yanker Vaults. This is him as Lindanius Trufeld, the ex-jock.
Thank you for calling Sunrise Sports. This is Katrina.
Hey, Katrina, how you doing this morning, baby?
Good, how are you?
All right, then. My name is Lindanius Trufeld. People call me the truth. You know who I am, right, babe? Class of 93, running back. Downfield. You know, I took state in the 400 meter medium, the small hurdle. That's the short ones, but there are a lot more of them and they're closer together. So when you run, you got to like, what? Step, 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 run up. Step, 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 jump. Step, 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 step. Pow! I get the medal. Get on right down to you. Hey, what's up?
Who's this?
This is Lindanius Trufeld. I was just talking to a little baby down there. I'm trying to get an employment situation. I would like to be your spokesperson, kind of like a mascot. And I'm going to give you a little bit of my resume. You know, I tried out for the Raiders. I tried out for the Colts, the Rams, the Argonauts. I feel like what I can do for you is bring in the black customer, the people of color.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
If you'd like to get some more details and talk to the guy that's actually in charge, I would recommend that you call back tomorrow.
Oh, that's beautiful, because you know what I was thinking? Y'all could do like an ad campaign, you know, do some commercials. You know, I have a little song, you know, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. The truth. Because it's terrible. And the aura. Because it's rumble. You true. Because it's unusual. And T. Did I say terrible? And H. Because it's humble. It's the truth. Don't rhyme, man. But you see, you put the bass and the drum back, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was snappy. That's great. Yeah,
and you know, I do it all day.
I'm going to tell my boss about you if you want to call back tomorrow.
Hey, let me ask you something, man. They still make the high top.
Hey, man, if you want some good high tops, you should go check out Skating Worshippers.
Now you're trying to kick me down to the other store because you don't want to confront me, right? I'm trying to come at you correct, and now you're trying to tell me go down the other place. Oh, you trying to pass on the brother, man. And don't raise your voice at me. Now, so maybe we need to get up in the room, nose to nose, cheek to cheek, butt to butt. Everybody bust a nut.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, man, I'm going to come over there, man. We're going to talk about this. This is some old bullshit.
All right, man, whatever works for you.
All right, then. No, man, look here. I don't want to end like this. Give me a name. Let me kick a little rhyme for you.
My name's Grant.
Grant! Grant! G-I-N, because Grant is dying. Dora, he's a rough, rough. Hey, he's absolutely in. He's an Oh, T! Because it's terrific. Grant. That was kind of off the cuff, and I was a little nervous. Boy, what you think, man?
That's pretty bad, man.
Nervous.
All right, then, Grant, so I'm going to come over there. I could do anything, you know, to help all y'all. I give you back rub. I do deep tissue, shiatsu, Swedish, Cambodian, Ethiopian. I do the... Hello. Hello.
Well, the great David Allen Greer has just entered the building. He'll be on the show. This will be uncomfortable because I haven't seen David since I didn't see David for the Oscar De La Hoya fight.
Yeah.
Started of beginning of the week of the De La Hoya fight, he called and they said, hey, man.
Hey, Adam.
Are we going to watch this fight or what? And I said, yeah. Why don't you buy it and I'll come over to your house and watch it? He said, all right. Good enough. Then I talked to him on like Thursday and he said, yeah.
Hey, Adam.
I bought the fight and I'm making fried chicken. I said, really? Can I make any jokes about that? He said, yeah, I'm making fried chicken, and I got the fight, so I'll see you on Saturday night. And I said, all right, I'll see you Saturday night, Dave. Then I talked to Dave on, Saturday afternoon.
Hey, yeah. Adam.
Oh, thank you, you idiot. Jesus Christ, Brian.
I was waiting for saying, he said.
No. Then I talked to Dag Saturday afternoon. And
hey, Adam.
Okay. Listen, are you gaslighting me or is this intentional? Either way, you're fired.
I'm just messing around.
All right, okay.
Get Maxwell in here.
Mess around on your other Mark and Brian's time, would you? Go over there and ruin their show. Okay, now where was I? Point is,
Kimmel called.
That's right.
Kimmel called.
So Dag called at like 5 and said, well, I'll see you in about 2 hours. I'm frying up the chicken. I said, all right, that's fine. And then Kimmel called a half hour later and said, I bought the fight. I live down the street. I got food coming over. And I said, I'll see you in an hour, buddy.
Wow. Sophie's choice.
But I did the right thing.
Wow.
I did the right thing. I called Dag and I said, Dag, you want to come over to Kimmel's and watch the fight? And he said, I already bought the fight and fried up the chicken. I said, well, enjoy. And I went over to Kimmel's.
Where's the part where you did the right thing?
I invited him over to someone else's house who bought the fight.
Well, wait a minute. We'll do a tiny bit of investigation. Where is Dag in his career at this point?
I think he's doing pretty well.
He's got a network show.
Pretty good. No, at this point when this moment happened.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is the De La Hoya fight, so it's 2 weeks ago. So I would say good because glad you're here.
If it was a few fights ago, it was a long time ago. Because I missed that part because you've known each other a very long time and are good friends. I was thinking that's actually a real solid invite, an up-and-coming entertainer over to Kimmel's house for the game was a big, forget the chicken, get the Kimmels.
Yeah, but considering he was on In Living Color in 1984 and Kimmel was in high school.
Hey, I don't think there's much. In 74. Get me to Kimmel's house.
All right.
I'm looking forward to talking to Dag, and I think we have dueling discomforts having to do with him.
Oh, you had a
date. Not be allowed to talk about mine.
Interesting.
I'll just do anything.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Tea.
Yes.
Now the real news when we come back. Yes.
Well, we're going to discuss Paula Abdul, and also, you know, the singer John Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
He did some comedy at a club, and I have tape of it.
Oh, wow! I have a feeling we're all going to feel a lot funnier next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Can I do a shout-out to my babies?
Well, I'd like you to answer.
Can I do a shout-out to my babies?
Well, we hired you to answer the phone.
I want to do a shout-out. Hey, Ray Ray. Hey, Tay Tay. Hey, Ina, Mina, Queena. Hey, I got words I ran out of names. They 1, 2, 3, and 4. And my 4 sets of twins. Hey, y'all. Hey, mama's on the radio.
David Allen Greer is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, technically they're right, just not right now.
Hey, Adam.
Teresa, I'll do the news, then we'll bring my main man, Dag, in next. T?
Yes.
Let's tee up the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Well, a lot of people have been asking, is America more ready for a female president or an African-American president? Barack Obama's wife, Michelle...
Let's just get a black chick in there and get it over with. Let's just get it over with. Black, 4 short years, we'll move ahead.
Well, listen to Michelle Obama artfully dodge.
I think that the American people are ready to have somebody that they can believe in
and that they can connect to. And I think that if Barack does what he's supposed to do and he can be clear and articulate in his message, he'll be the next president of the United States.
Well, it's
I'm clear on that.
It's not a crystal. It's change your name to Crystal. Look, this is not a good experiment because Barack is white and Hillary's a dude.
Right.
So
exactly right.
This plan where we get the black dude who's whiter than Bonaducci could ever dream of being, or a chick who's more man than I could ever dream of being, and Bonaducci could ever dream of being, with shorter hair and more facial hair, and wears more suits than I wear, please. This is not an experiment.
You're saying it's a murky experiment at best.
I say this country has truly evolved when we get Flip Wilson's old character Geraldine as president. Now, that's a black woman.
Well, you remember Jerry Falwell recently died, and our own religious nut job Shirley Phelps was planning to protest at the funeral. Now, reportedly, a 19-year-old... I believe student from Liberty University was arrested Monday night because a family member told authorities this kid has some homemade bombs in his trunk. And according to the Associated Press, he was apparently upset about an anti-gay fringe group. And according, it doesn't say the name of the group. It doesn't say Shirley Phelps, but it says...
Funny, you got the word fringe right in your name, and yet you don't like the gays.
That's true. It also says...
The number one accoutrement of the gay attire is the fringe, and yet... Yes. You're a fringe group that doesn't like gays.
Doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
It's not a rivet group.
Oh, you're like a guitar group that doesn't like music.
It also says
sweet irony.
The group pickets soldiers' funerals, claiming the deaths are God's punishment for a nation that supports homosexuality. And I thought, this guy was trying to kill Shirley Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
Who we have on the phone.
Ah, Shirley?
Good morning.
Morning.
Where are you calling from, my dear?
Well, I'm home now.
Mm-hmm.
We got home late last night.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in Topeka, Kansas?
That's right.
Hmm. Red state, what a shock. And you were going out to Falwell, a funeral is in what state?
It's in Virginia.
Virginia. So
Lynchburg.
You made the pilgrimage out there to protest his funeral.
That's right.
Just like you did with the fallen veterans here.
Exactly.
The soldiers, where you first came to prominence. And by the way, we should just state that Shirley first came to the attention of us when she was picketing outside of the veterans, or I should say outside of the
fallen soldiers'
funerals. Right. And what did your sign say?
Falwell in hell. I have some awesome pictures of it.
Uh-huh. And when you were out front with the fallen soldiers' funerals, what did your sign say?
Dead soldier in hell. That would be like that. God hates America. America is doomed.
Hey, watch the word. Watch the word, Shirley.
You can put it on a sign and stand out in the street corner with it.
What do you mean, watch the word? What are you saying?
It's one of those words. Yeah, it's one of those words that we're not allowed to say.
You are kidding me.
No.
You can say every filthy thing that comes out of your mouth, but you can't say the F-A-G word?
Well, I do think we finally found some common ground, Shirley. You know what? I like the cut of your jib, kid. Maybe I'll come out to Topeka and we'll break some bread. Who says a God bigger than yours?
No.
The one.
Your retarded cousin.
Our God's so big he's called infinity.
Right.
Infinity. So you're saying this is a policy of your company, not the law.
Well, look, here's the problem, Shirley.
Yeah,
I don't know the problem
is they're a bunch of perverts and they're taking this country to hell and they're determined to try to make us go along with
Again,
them.
Again, we found some common ground. Please, Jesus Christ, have tinnitus now. Please, I thought you went over to Mark and Brian to go help their show into the ground. Shirley?
Yes.
Right. Here's the thing. If you've read any of your secular newspapers, you'd realize that morning show DJs have been dropping like flies for saying insensitive things about certain groups.
Well, I'm not a morning show DJ, so tell them to kiss off.
Although,
yeah, you're really understanding.
I do feel like you could work in the business.
Yes.
Maybe not alone. Maybe we'll team you up
it's
with like...
It's too pricey. The cost of working in the business is too high.
Yes, you have to sell your soul on
exactly.
that. We agree on. So you went down to the funeral in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yes. We had a really good sign, too, that we've had at his church, this very same place, only he now has a new behemoth place, which he died before he could spend very much time in, Thomas Road Baptist Church, new digs and all. But it said, F-A-G, enabler, fall well.
Uh-huh. So you were going to head down there with your new signs and your kids to protest.
We did.
But then there was a threat.
Yeah, but that didn't stop us. Are you kidding me? It made the police a little nervous.
You have the Lord on your side. You're not scared of death?
Not at all. Look, the Lord our God is the one we serve. He's faithful, and he's willing and able to deliver us from every evil work. And not only that, but you think this is the first time Dumbledore doomed Americans have bombed us?
You've been bombed before?
Hello?
I know you've bombed on the show several times.
They bombed us with an IED, and now God is using the IED as he promised. It is the number one killer of your brats in Iraq.
You mean the improvised explosive device.
Oh, exactly. That's what they used to bomb us, and that was in a day when people didn't even know what it was.
When I was younger, chicks used an IUD,
yes.
And like sometimes you'd bump into it, and it'd freak you out. So that's what I thought you were talking
about.
Shirley,
where do you think Jerry Falwell is now?
He's in hell.
What's he doing there?
Luke 16. Well, I'll tell you what it says he's doing.
Yeah.
He's doing three things. First of all, it says, and he died, comma, the rich man, that is. That's Falwell.
Yeah, we got the die part.
And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. So he's in torments, first of all. And then he wants Abraham.
Hold on, did you say torrents?
He's in torrents.
Same thing.
Torments. He wants someone to dip their finger in water to cool his tongue because he's tormented in the flames specifically.
Hey, can I ask you this quickly, Shirley? As far as being tormented in hell.
Yes.
Tormented doesn't sound as bad as tortured. You know what I mean? Tormented is...
Well, the only thing that's
you sit down and someone hides the TV remote, so you got to change the channel with needle-nose pliers.
But remember that movie, Hellraiser?
Listen,
that was the best depiction of hell.
The worm that eats on you never dies, and the fire is never quenched. Now, if that sounds like fun, get
with
it.
Will I lose weight?
What is that?
But there's only one thing that changes.
Right.
It is your capacity to withstand the pain, and then... the increase of the pain.
So you get used to it, like in a hot tub.
But then it increases to meet your tolerance.
Adam, is it just me, or is the most confusing thing about this Shirley Phelps, Jerry Falwell thing, to me, it seems like they have a common bond. They both hate gay people.
No, Jerry Falwell didn't. No, he hated gay people. We love them. We love them enough to tell them the truth. He demonstrated by the standard of God that he hates them in his heart. We, on the other hand, faithfully remind all of you every day that if you don't live by the standard of God, you're going to join him in hell. But the next thing that Falwell's doing in hell is the next thing that he wants more than the water, after the water he can't have.
Now, I'm sorry. Falwell hell schedule, and what are we up to now? Brunch?
No, now it's this.
Hitler.
He wants only one other thing.
Right?
He wants someone at that funeral to warn his loved ones that if they don't repent, then they're going to join him in hell. He's in hopes that they won't do that.
Hey, Shirley?
Yeah.
Just quickly while I have you on the line, if something happens to me before something happens to you.
Yes.
And I'm in hell.
Yes.
I don't.
We'll warn your loved ones.
I know. That's my point. I don't want you showing up at the funeral, giving my loved ones a heads up. Although, no, in my family, you'll be noshing over at the house after the protest at my funeral. But point is you were then asked to leave for your own safety because there was a death threat.
No. Those officers did a very good job. They were clearly nervous. We didn't know about all this bomb stuff until we got back to the airport.
Right.
But they were very nervous, but they did a very good job. It was kind of funny because some guy, it looked like to me, he strayed into the area, but they landed on that guy with a ton of bricks. These little freaks that all want to come over and try to get with you. They were just cutting them off at the pass. I was going, what in the world's wrong with these
Shirley,
guys?
Shirley, can I ask you this? And I'm going to try to see if we can work this out, not only for you, but the public at large.
All right.
You're looking forward to being with your maker, right? You're not going to be in hell with Falwell.
I'm looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ through those clouds in a flame of fire.
But if you, on the off chance that doesn't happen over the long Memorial Day weekend, you are, when you perish, you'll then be with your maker, right?
I will be.
And that'll
whenever
be,
I quit this life, I'll be with my maker.
That'll be good times for you, right?
It will be.
On the other hand, if you kill yourself, you don't get to be with your maker.
Mortal sin.
Perhaps we can make it look like an accident. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I'm just saying, hold on a second. I'm just thinking out loud here without the help of Shirley. But, you know, the omnipotent one sees all. But how does he tell the difference whether you threw yourself off that ladder when you're cleaning the gutters off on your roof or you just fell? Did you, do you know what I'm saying? Sure, if you hang yourself in your bathroom, well, you go to hell. Right. You took your own life. But let's just say Shirley gets up on a ladder, and maybe we just loosen one of the skids at the bottom a little bit.
So now are we murdering her, or is she killing herself?
She's killing herself. Uh-huh. But hold on. She's making it look like an accident.
God knows.
Yeah, God knows. She's got you on this one.
Do you think God could really tell the difference between a guy who fell off his roof by accident when he was trying to get a little better TV reception and one who took a little dive?
According to the Bible that I read, God knows every single hair on every single person's
head. But he's reviewing the film. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think I don't. I don't think you can have this.
Here's what
I think
you can
have. You know when you're watching YouTube and you see one of those fights in a dorm room and you go, I don't know. I think that was cooked. And then your buddy goes, are you kidding? That one dude's swinging his brains out. And then you go, I don't know, because that one dude's kind of smiling and you can't tell. Then right. You get a push and you go to heaven.
Okay, God's not in a frat.
This is going to be devastating.
Well, then why is my whole life a hazing?
That's going to be a great T-shirt, by the way.
See, I thought you were just going to say, when I die,
and
then you were
going to
look at me and say, go kill her.
What's that, Shirley?
Your problem is you think God is like you. God searches the hearts of men. He knows every one of your dark, evil thoughts.
So he knows what you're thinking when you get on the roof.
Like Santa.
It's not just reviewing the film.
That's
I understand.
Right.
All right. Well, look, I've learned something.
Yeah.
So, Shirley?
Yes?
We're going to take a break unless you want to sing a horribly hate-filled evil song.
I have a song for you, don't
I? Okay. All right. That you enlist your young children to help you on.
Hey, Meg. Song.
Hey, Shirley?
Yes.
Please try to stay.
Oh, Shirley.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really didn't do that. I'm sorry.
Right. Shirley, remind us how many kids you have.
11
kids.
Okay. Hey, guys, how about this? Look, we've got a verse of the Coast Guard song that does not have the F word. It has flag, but not F-A-G.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Okay. Hey, Matt, anybody? Yeah, we're good.
The Coast Guard song. Oh.
Should be good.
Look out, Weird Al. There's a new sheriff in town. Her name is Shirley Phelps. Here we go, Shirley.
Okay. Your Coast Guard efforts are in vain. Your God is all your sins.
Harmonized.
You claim that filthy flag is great. This war you'll never win.
You'll never win.
That's a 9-year-old. Cue the button.
Making sins. In spite of all your laws, you'll never stop your enemy. Your enemy is God. Arr!
Nice job, Shirley Phelps. I like the pirate art. I don't know why, but I'm picturing the neighbor. He's a 32-year-old single male. He's taking the day off work.
There's 11 chips next door.
He's just popped in a porn and decided to take a little me time, and all of a sudden he hears this religious shanty coming from the house next door. I was like, oh, good Christ, you just added an hour to this experience.
I think it's drunk Christians to take my shot.
All right. Well, Shirley Phelps, I'm slowly falling in love with you, baby. I don't know if I should admit that on the air. Glad you're in one piece, sort of. And, we need to take a break. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll bring David Alan Greer in here, Dag, my main man, and he will sit in on the rest of the news.
All right.
We will get to the news if it kills me and Shirley has to protest at my funeral. David Alan Greer, the rest of the news next.
Mr. Mean Man.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi, well, Dad.
Danny.
Hi,
other
sir.
Guy.
Dave still smarting over me leaving him at the altar at the De La Hoya fight.
You didn't leave me at the altar, Adam. I didn't want to come to your stinking house.
I invited you over to Kimmel's house to eat his food and watch his TV set. That was very generous.
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't have a vagina. He's like, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you bring all your fried chicken and all your popcorn and come over to not my house, to my friend's house.
Yeah.
Get out
of here. How long did you spend preparing that feast for Adam?
20 minutes. Other people were there. Other people came over.
Dag,
it was quite action-packed.
Dag was like, I got fried. It's weird when black people tell you stuff like I got fried chicken and you have to go.
My chicken is awesome. And wait a minute, where were the sandwiches from? You said they were from,
Kimmel went to,
Bay City.
Well, yeah.
Listen to him.
That was Brian, though. You weren't invited. You're never invited.
I'm on the Carson Daly show, and he's like, where were the sandwiches from? And I go, Bay City. I was, ooh, those are good sandwiches.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the whole conversation changed.
I'm doing Carson tonight. And Carson, if you're listening, why don't you eat a sandwich every once in a while? Carson's getting too thin.
He's skinny like a girl.
All right, Dag, David Alan Greer, going to be at the Irvine Improv tomorrow night through Sunday. Listen, Dave is the funniest guy you know when he's not prepared.
Right.
Imagine when he thinks of the crap he's going to say in advance, how funny he is.
I don't think he does.
I do, man.
No, he does.
I've seen
his
act. I got to act, man. I got to act.
You got a solid act that you do.
Absolutely.
How do you stick to it? Like 30%, 50%, 80%?
I speedball a little bit, you know.
Yeah, me
dance too, around. Well, Irvine is always one of my favorite clubs, you know. It's as close as we get to L.A., so it's nice.
What I meant by that is I can see somebody saying something that caught your attention, and then there's 20 new minutes that you've never done before.
Possibly, but we try to stick to the program because I'm trying to get up and in and out. And I have T-shirts for once after 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what do they say?
They don't really say much. There's a little splotch on there. Selling for $50, $60.
Mm-hmm.
I think all I got to do is move about three of them.
And you're good?
Tight. I'm tight.
Yeah, I told Dag, you know, you ought to sell a bunch of those T-shirts for $9.99. He said, F that. I'll sell three for $400 each and get in and out of there.
There you go.
See, I can't bring myself to do it.
Well, I can. Now I can. My brother helps me. He comes down.
That'd be cool.
He gets out the house, you know. He's married.
Your brother's out here?
He's flying in today.
Oh, I see.
He's my date. I'm taking him to the American Idol final tonight.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. I got these tickets. And I'm like, yeah, man, I got these tickets. He was like, oh, man. I'm called into work, man. I was like, wait, no, we going to this.
Come on, make us some fried chicken.
We going to this.
Well, look at you, a nice close.
He's very excited.
Blake or Jordan for you?
Beg your pardon?
In American Idol, the finalist.
Oh, I know who you're saying. Yeah, San Antonio is going to take it. Tim Duncan is boxing out. He's done there. Woo!
He does clog up the middle.
Give me the ball!
T.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the ball for
Thank
a minute.
You.
Right, let you finish the news. We'll chime in.
Lisa, look at you, girl. Teresa, she's got a lot to say. There's things going on all around this world that Teresa and her ass are gonna talk about. Teresa's got the tea.
There you go, baby.
You are super talented in the creepiest way.
American Idol was on last night, as we were just discussing, and the big talk was about Paula Abdul, who had injured her nose when she allegedly claimed trampled over her Chihuahua Tulip. Her nose looked pretty normal if you saw the show last night.
Yeah.
I don't know what she did to it. Now she's saying she chipped some cartilage. Anyway, here she is explaining it on Extra.
All I know is it was slow motion. Oh, my God, I'm going to do a face plant. Bruised myself on my arm from my waist all the way down, completely bruised. My hip, my nose is fine. I'm still going to have to smell slimy.
Yeah. Her and Hasselhoff are going to have to move to a gymboree or one of those inflatable castles.
Where you can't get hurt?
Yes, because they're running into all kinds of sharp items around the hotel rooms. That's it. Hasselhoff and Paula Abdul ought to move into one of those inflatable castles with the balls in there.
They
and just live
dating.
It out. Just start dating.
Dating.
Yeah, and here's the deal. When you're heading toward the floor in slow motion, That should leave you plenty of time to put your hands out in front of you so your nose doesn't act like landing.
You have a dog, right?
I do, but that did almost happen to me. One time in my backyard, I tripped on the sprinkler, and I was about to face plant on the edge of my pond and the big metal doggy dish, and I was like, wow, this is really going to... Oh, and I caught myself.
That's
see?
What you did.
You know
did.
What I'm saying?
That's
put
what
my
you
hands
did.
Out in front of me.
Right.
I did not face plant, can't you see?
By the way, you can't trip on Dag's dog because Dag's dog is the size of a Volkswagen.
He's pretty big.
Oh, really? What kind of dog?
She's a Great Swiss Mountain dog, and she's a bitch.
She's a lot of bitch, too.
A lot of bitch.
She's a 900-pound dog.
Lucy.
I got raped twice by her when I was over there. There's nothing I could do.
She's a
Dag
little,
just stood next to me and drank a beer and said, look, if you fight, you may get hurt.
Let her have her way
Let
with
her
you.
Let her have her way, get it out of her system, and then we can enjoy the fight.
Well, later we'll discuss the rest of American Idol, including the original song, This Is My Now. I know you enjoyed it.
Wait. Now, it was a white dude, right? The white boy who came
Two
up with
guys
the...
wrote it. Yeah,
right.
Two white guys wrote
right.
it.
Did it have beatbox in it?
No. No.
He didn't do... Dag, how about that? When a white guy does the beatbox, that must anger you.
You give love. Bad. Bad. Bad name. Love. Bad. Yeah. Or Bon Jovi.
See, when I watch... That's the whole thing. Like, when I watch Blake doing the beatbox, I think, wow, look at him go. And when you watch, you must be angry.
Well, I remember when John Bon Jovi was there, he was looking at him like, dude, what are you doing to me, man?
Like,
he was the hard 80s rocker, man. That was a rock and roll song.
But as somebody who could beatbox circles around anyone, you must feel like John Popper when he's watching Dylan try to play the harmonica.
I felt like Little Richard in my house going,
this is crazy. Get my agent on the phone. Get my...
Well, let's listen to a little bit of another idol named Carrie Underwood. She had a song called Before He Cheats. Now, this is important. We'll play it a little bit in the background. We're going to play this because John Mayer uses this as the subject of his comedy.
Wow.
When he got up to do comedy in New York City.
Where
do you know
did he
this
do
song?
Comedy?
At the Comedy Cellar in New York City.
That's easy for Tom Hatch Club.
You know the song?
Where
the
do I know it? I lived it.
Sure.
Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drinks.
My favorite line right here.
Right now, she's probably buying condoms, rolling on over with some easy glide. Right now, he's smoking a cigarette, about to roll her over and get inside. That's my mother-in-law.
Up, everybody.
Yeah. Would you like to hear John Mayer's comedy about
yes,
this song?
I really would.
Let's take a listen.
Amazing. Women now in music are writing really aggressive songs against guys. Just Carrie Underwood has that song, and maybe next time you'll think before. It's basically a woman for 4.5 minutes just abusing the out of a guy. It's basically a confessional. Have you ever heard this song? I take the car key up to a savage truck. Took a Louisville slug into his headlight. And she says, maybe next time he'll think before he cheats. Maybe he's not cheating. Maybe he kind of broke up with you and you just not hearing it.
Wow.
That's not awful.
Do you want to hear more? I have a lot more.
Really?
For a
multi-platinum.
Really. All
right,
really.
I've got one more joke. Let's take a listen.
But I can't write that stuff. I can't get that aggressive. A guy cannot get that aggressive in a song. I can't be like, I had a down on... I had a down... I just had a size 12 Jordan upper ovaries. I can't do that. I can't. Maybe next time she'll think before she speaks.
Yeah, no, I'm fine
not
with
bad.
He made an oral sex reference. Yeah. I had to beep it out, but I turned the corner on him when he did that. Yes.
But you know what? That's tour bus comedy, you know, because you can tell his boys, dude, you gotta do comedy, man.
Right.
His roadies are giving him a false sense of how funny he is.
They're enablers.
No, I gotta go that he's every opening act I ever had in Pacoima.
Absolutely.
Comedy.
Anytime people you paying are laughing at you, that's not a good thing.
And by the way, folks, when you're the funniest guy on your factory floor and everyone you work with says you ought to do stand-up, they just mean not here.
Right. Exactly.
They don't mean you're so funny you should do stand-up. They mean knock it off and get back to the end of the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
That's what that is. You should be a stand-up. Yeah. Some other time.
Right. Or,
that's what they're saying.
You should be on, as my grandfather used to say, you should be on the stage. There's one leaving at 4.
Right.
Another big finale last night, Dancing with the Stars.
Mm.
You know who won?
Who won, baby?
Heather
Apollo Anton. No, she was eliminated
she did.
A long time ago.
$200 million.
That's true. Apollo Anton Ono, the Olympic speed skater.
Mm-hmm.
And also Drudge Report saying that the Dancing with the Stars finale beat the American Idol finale in the ratings. Here is Apollo Anton Ono accepting his award.
How do you feel? You know what? I feel amazing. I feel like from day one I've said everybody here has been champions. Joey has taught me so much, and I feel like lessons to be learned from watching the show are amazing. You know, and I've learned from myself. You put your mind to something, you do 100%, you give a sacrifice, dedication, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Apollo Anton Ono.
He's got a dance.
Wow. That speed skating is going to come in handy very soon.
Yeah, it's a life sport.
They asked me to do America's Dancing Ball.
Did they?
Yeah, the first season, I was like, no.
Really?
But I didn't know, man, because the dancing instructor chicks are so hot.
Yeah. No.
You come in there with your little dance pants on.
Would you do it if they asked you again?
Probably not, but...
Yeah. If you have any money, don't do it.
I don't need to do it.
Well,
it's
not a
lot
of money,
but
it's got better ratings than American Idol.
Drudge is saying it beat the Idol finale.
But it doesn't
huge.
Make anybody a star at the end. Nobody's going ballroom dancing for, 200,000 people at Dodger Stadium.
Well, I hate to disagree, but your buddy Mario Lopez was not exactly on everyone's radar a year and a half ago. He seemed like he was struggling a little bit, and now he is all over the place, and I think it's because of that show.
Possibly not, just because I'm aware of Mario. He has not been on television since we did that show together.
I know, but it helped him.
You're aware of him. He was not doing a lot.
Yeah,
he wasn't on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
They weren't talking about
him. They just did In Touch magazine. Just did a day in the life of Mario Lopez. From the time he wakes up, pictures of him eating cereal, that thing. So yeah, I guess you have a
3 years. 3 years ago, Mario Lopez was not all over the place. He is all
who
over
was
the
he
place
engaged
now.
To? He was engaged to who?
Everyone.
The Doritos
what's
commercial
the Doritos
girl?
Chick.
No,
Allie Landry.
Allie Landry. What a piece.
Right.
What
love
a
her. All right, we need to take a break, Shag. Hang out. Would you, brother?
Yeah, I gotta go pick my brother up, but I'm gonna hang out, man.
Where's he coming in from?
San Francisco.
All right. What time's the bus get here?
Look out! Guys, listen. Let's hear it for your opener, Adam. Hold on. Let me read the card. Corolla.
He is awesome.
I thought you guys were scared to fly.
Put your hands together.
Give a Dingleberry's welcome to wonderful Adam. Thank you, Adam.
You guys like the bus. That's all.
You know what? What guys, Adam? Talented
exactly.
Young men of color. Is that what you mean? Because I'm about to get in your thorax. Come at me.
We'll take a break. David Alan Greer next on the Adam Corolla Show.
Adam, from your loins issued first not one, but two of you, a boy and a girl, but not humans, not of flesh and blood, but of love, of feelings, and of a whole lot of your jizz. Adam, I call you Daddy.
866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
That was a rough one. It was rough getting that one out.
That was solid as yours. David Alan Greer, Irvine Improv, tomorrow night through Sunday, improv.com, and also a tip of the cap to David Alan Greer for his new hit TV show. Thank God you're here. Wednesdays, 8 o'clock, NBC Quiet.
Wow.
Donny Osmond is on the phone.
One of my all-time favorite people.
This should be good, Donnie.
How are you, Adam?
Great to speak to you.
Danny, what are you doing?
What am I doing? Besides saying you're one of my all-time favorite people, I don't know, nothing. What are you doing?
It's good to hear your voice again.
Nice to hear you, buddy.
Yeah. Now, Adam, how you been?
I'm doing very well, and somebody just reminded me because we put my prom picture from when I was 17 on AdamCarolla.com, and somebody said he looks like a young Donny Osmond. And about the only thing I ever heard that was good in my childhood when I was about 10 years old was, you look like Donny Osmond. Which is,
you know, people tell me all the time I used to look like Adam Carolla. It's amazing.
I don't mean to top you.
I've been in therapy ever since.
But when Donny Osmond and I did that famous boxing match, which, by the way, way I was very honest and straightforward about, and you'd have been very proud, Mr. Osmond.
Yeah,
my wife admitted to me that she had Donnie and Gretchen forever carved in her desk in school.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard she still carves it in her dresser today.
No, now she carves it in her arm because she's got a little crazy.
Well, Donnie Osmond must have been the biggest sort of pop scene, pop teen idol of the 70s, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, 70 through like 77, right?
Well, I tell you, it was an interesting decade, let me tell you. It was, a crazy time of my life.
It was more interesting for those of us that knew how to sleep around and take a lot of drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
But Donnie was a good man, and that was the big difference between us.
What was the biggest hit that you had?
Everybody says Puppy Love. You know, everybody says
and
that.
And they call it... Puppy Love.
Now I really need therapy.
That's Dag Allen Greer, by the way, singing Puppy Love.
And that's what they call it!
But you know, the biggest record was either...
Puppy Love!
Oh, shut up, will you?
Thank you, Donnie. Thank you.
Go ahead, Donnie. Your biggest record?
Go Away, Little Girl. Go Away, Little Girl.
Go Away, Little Girl. Go Away, Little Girl.
Donnie, you've already mentioned therapy twice, so you're a man after my own heart.
Wow. Oh, really?
Do you go to therapy?
Well, I used to. I suffered from anxiety back in the 90s when I was doing Joseph. And
you mean stage fright?
Not his boyfriend. Yeah, he means right. Joseph
the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah.
And Donnie, yeah, I heard that story. It's weird where you grow up, you're almost literally born on stage. You've done countless thousands of
Andy
performances
Williams Christmas specials
in front of millions of people, and then all of a sudden you're 39 years old and you're scared to death to walk out on stage.
I can't explain it. I don't know why. Thank goodness I'm over it, but it was a horrible time in my life.
Wow. Did you ever have to, like, cancel performances?
Here's what I think it was. After going through therapy and talking to a lot of people about it, here's what I think it was. I had an amazing career back in the 70s, whether people liked it or not. You know, it was a teeny bopper career.
Right.
But it was huge, and I lost it all through the 80s. I mean, I was just trying as hard as I can to get it back. Then Soldier of Love happened, Sacred Emotion, and I was back on the charts. Things were going my way. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, it was standing room only.
Made you a real deal, though, too.
Exactly.
Because when they put out Soldier of Love, by the way, because I was in Top 40 radio then.
Yeah.
They refused, and it was at Donnie and Donnie's record company's request. His name appeared nowhere on it.
Right.
You so did it was not successful.
Know who you did not know who you were playing because they thought guys that thought they were cool wouldn't play it.
Well, exactly. But see, Peter Gabriel, he was involved in the scene at that point in time, and he said, forget about image, forget about all that kind of stuff, and the promotion of it, just make the music great. So radio stations were really doing me a favor. Capitol Records, when they released it, they really did me a big favor by not putting my name on it. So now things were going my way. It was standing room only in Joseph. It was a big hit. 6 years into the production, the last thing I wanted for it was to go away again, because I know what it feels like. And
yeah.
I think that's what drove me into that.
Me both, buddy.
I couldn't make mistakes at that point.
Did you have to ever cancel performances because of the anxiety, or was it just before you started performing? Like, once you started, were you cool?
No, there were shows where I just literally thought I was going to die. I remember one time in I think it was Toronto. No, it was in Chicago, Danny, when you were there.
Right.
I would go on stage knowing that I would die.
That's so weird because you killed not one bad review.
But that's what really drove me further into it. I didn't want to get a bad review.
The thing was, he was only there, supposed to be there 8 weeks or something, right? I think he was there almost a year.
Yeah,
they just kept extending it.
But sometimes the more people admire you and give you adulation, tell you how great you are, the more you're afraid of losing it.
Wouldn't
know. Well, you know what? That's what happened to George Michael. I was talking to somebody just a few weeks ago when I was in London. He said, you know, the guy is afraid of his own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, such a talented guy, but, you know, this whole perfectionism, this type A personality will drive you into a point of your life where it's like, boy, you better not do anything wrong. Because society doesn't allow too many mistakes, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't allow yourself to have too many mistakes.
Yeah,
society
yeah.
forgives more than you
a
think
lot.
They forgive.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But, Donnie, how did you overcome this in therapy? Is this prescription medication? Is it something you can talk your way out of?
Wait, all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to admit I went through everything. There's a lady by the name of Geraldine Ross, who's president of the Anxiety Association of America.
Hold on, R-O-S-S?
Yeah.
She's not kidding.
I have horrible stage fright. I always have.
Get the book, Triumph Over Fear.
Mm-hmm.
It saved me. But Geraldine really saved me, and a team of people all across the United States when I was doing Joseph all over the place.
And these were anxiety attacks, were they not?
Exactly.
Donnie, by the way, has himself a new CD out called Love Songs of the 70s.
My 55th record, guys.
Wow. 55
records. Somebody told me this when I was recording. I said, yeah, right, whatever. I went to my website and counted them up. And sure enough, there are 55 records. And this is the cool thing about this record. I had more fun recording this, going back to the 70s, and picking songs that influenced me as a kid, you know?
No.
Mm-hmm. And I was doing, playing Gaston in Beauty and the Beast last fall on right. Broadway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A great part, by the way. A great part.
It's an awesome role. But I converted my dressing room at the Lunsfontaine Theater into a recording studio. That's where I did all my vocals. So when I wasn't doing Gaston, I was recording this. And if you could solo just the vocal track, the lead vocal track, you'd hear taxi cabs honking in the back and sirens, because I'm right there on Times Square.
That's funny.
You know?
What was the biggest love song of the 70s? What was it?
For Donnie? Or?
Oh, no. I didn't go there.
What do you got? You got some Brad, some Bee Gees, some Al Green?
One of the two of my favorite would be the Al Green. I'm so in love with you. Let's stay together.
Wag it.
Such a great song. And the other one was Sometimes When We Touch, The Honesty Is Too Much, by Dan Hill. Mm-hmm. And about 3 weeks ago, I was in New York, WPLJ in New York. They asked me to come on and sing that song live. So I said, sure. So I brought in a minus track and sang it live. They wanted to take
Now, minus is minus your voice track.
Minus my vocal track, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We call that karaoke.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but in the business, we call it minus tracks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I sang it live, and this guy calls up right afterwards. He said, Donnie, I got to tell you, I love your performance on Sometimes When We Touch. Matter of fact, I love it more than the original by Dan Hill. I said, dude, thank you very much. What's your name? He said, Dan Hill.
Wow. I'm working at Jiffy Lube in Poughkeepsie. You think I can get some tickets?
It was really Dan that called in, so that's kind
of
cool.
I got to tell you, I made a small living off of Donny Osmond. I fought. I told you, I think, a pretty fair story of that this morning. But we talked bad about each other for a while and all this stuff. And even when we were either pretending or didn't like each other, I'm not sure which, you could not say anything bad about this guy's talent. Because his name is Donny Osmond, you get a certain expectation.
Yeah, you do.
He plays all these instruments. He sings like an angel, this cat. My guess is that the second part of your life and career is making $20 million a year in Vegas.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Danny, is that Universal did a whole market research on who my audience is before they released this record, because they wanted to know, where do we promote this thing?
Right.
And the president of Decca Records came back and said, Donnie, this is really interesting. You've got two audiences now.
Right.
You got the puppy lovers, you know, that grew up with you in the 70s, the Donny Marie Show and all that kind of stuff, that had those expectations that you just mentioned about. But because of the Weird Al Yankovic video you did, the Jimmy Kimmel stuff, and the Leno things that you've been doing, you've got a whole young contingent, teenager, 20-year-old audience that knows who you are, that really doesn't have what I'll call the Donnie and Marie and Puppy Love baggage.
Right.
But I'm just kind of a new, old artist at the same time.
Hey, Donnie, look, let's be honest. Even if just every person related to you, grandkids, brothers, sisters, nieces, and nephews bought this record, it would at least go gold in North America. There must be several hundred thousand Osmonds.
If I can just get the Osmonds to buy it, it'd go gold.
Yes.
Yeah,
speaking
right.
of the Osmonds, I grew up watching the Osmond Show, your Donnie Marie Show on TV. I would see your little brother, Jimmy Osmond, come out there and pretend to play the trumpet.
Yeah.
He
could play the trumpet. There were a couple times he lip synced.
Well, that must have been when I tuned in, because as a 7-year-old watching a 13-inch Zenith in the Corolla house, black and white, I said that kid's faking it right there. But he was blowing. Now, what is he up to?
I just got off the phone with him. As a matter of fact, he's producing a TV show right now. It's my brother's 50th anniversary in show business, and PBS. Said they want to do the show, so he's producing that.
Right. And 49, by the way, but they're counting.
But what about
him
the theater in Branson? Don't you have a theater in Branson?
My brother's, actually Jimmy did. He's since divested himself from that and just doing other things. And he's kind of like the businessman.
So Donnie, ultimately, before we take a break here, philosophically, I know it's hard to detach yourself from your own life and go, how would you have wanted it? But
not me.
Would you have wanted a different childhood? Would you have wanted to be a normal kid growing up in Utah and, you know, have your dates in your high school and play on your teams and all that? Or yeah. the life you had? Because you were in it.
But you have to pick.
From
you
the word
no gray
go,
area. You
right?
have to say, I yeah. keep the yeah. life I've got or I trade it for a
Do
different
Do you
life.
Resent your past, your childhood, your family, what have you?
Great question, Adam. I went through a period of my life where I wanted a different life. I wanted to be more cool. I wanted to be accepted wow. like a rock and roller and stuff like that. But but my life is what it is, and I've lived some experiences, you guys, that anybody would love to be in my shoes. So.
Dude, the night we fought,
yeah.
Danny Partridge and Donny Osmond punched each other in the face. That's yeah. the weirdest night ever, and nobody else gets to say that.
But the thing
but
is,
the two of us.
Because of the life that I've lived, I can do stuff like that, Danny, with you, and punch you in the face, and do a guest appearance on Dweezil Zappa's record,
right.
and guest with Weird Al Yankovic, and enjoy mm-hmm. the image that I've got rather than fight it.
Well, Donnie, thank you for being on the show.
Yes,
love songs of the 70s.
And once again, I swear to God, I'm one of his biggest fans. You guys got to give this guy the credit he deserves.
Thanks, well, tell
if you have a Donny Osmond hump,
check
get
it out
over.
On Donny.com. You can hear the album there.
That's right. 12 songs, classics from the 70s in stores now, or you go to Donny.com.
Thanks, guys.
And get that. Thank you, Donny.
Thank you, Donny.
Good to speak to you. I think that's funny.
Jeez, that guy would not shut up! Enough already!
He stole your thunder, Matt.
I'm sorry, Dad.
It's his Mormon CD. I don't need this, Adam!
You're also...
Whatever! Come at me! 1, 2, 3, 4!
You're also pretty. You're also talented.
What did you say?
Speaking of yelling... You know, it's weird. You can work things out with therapy and medication, but one time, Dr. Drew, who's prone to having anxiety attacks
yeah,
on very
it?
Rare occasion.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you've fallen in love with him even more.
Yeah.
He shares your affliction.
I'm very nervous.
He had an anxiety attack when we were doing Loveline, the TV show, in the middle of 4 tapings a day. He had somewhere around 2.5.
My heart
and
just started beating.
Said, I can't breathe. I have to go to my dressing room. And we can ask him, or you can ask him. He comes on the show. No hyperbole, no exaggeration. I'd had an ass fall. I wanted to get the F out of there.
You told him, knock it the S off.
I walked into his dressing room and I said, listen, buddy, we have, you know, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. We've done 2.5 shows. We're not going anywhere until we do this one and then do another hour after that. Now, Limp Bizkit is waiting out there. You get your ass together. You get out on stage. I don't care if you don't talk. Just sit there. I'll do it. And let's get the F out of Dodge. Wow. And he just snapped into whatever. And he just sat out there. And we finished the show. And then he did the next one. And it was no problemo. I think not all of therapy, but half of therapy. If I just sat backstage and said, hey, Joseph, in your gay overcoat, you haul your Mormon ass back on stage, you shake your goddamn moneymaker, and then after we're done, we can have a nice pop and talk about it.
You know what it is? It's like a football coach would do. You've heard of talk therapy. This is jock therapy. Wow.
Ladies, this is not Leisure World.
doctor, I can't put the ball in.
Career!
Oh, what? Yeah.
Career, I'm going to put my foot in your rear.
Ooh.
If you don't get your black ass back out on that field.
That's a run.
And start kicking some white ass. Now strap up and get there.
Okie dokie,
or I'll kick your wish you were never born, son.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying.
Get me the ball, coach. Put me in.
There you go. That's
Adam,
how it works.
Adam,
I don't think I'm ever going to find another woman I love, and she's leaving me. What do I do?
Cry me a river, Bonnet douchebag. Who are you kidding? Coming at me with those puppy dog eyes? Give me one of those smokes. How's it feel?
I got in my car.
Give me another one. I like to chew on one while I'm smoking. Now you get your bedazzled ass back to that singles club and you start dry humping before the night is through. And
all
if
right.
I don't see some chick either crying or pregnant the next hour, I'll come after your ass and you'll wish you were never born.
Yeah.
You'll go back into that Partridge Family bus and you'll crawl in the fetal position and you'll hope Keith saves your pansy ass. Now gloom up and start humping.
Thank you, Dr. Carolla.
Coach Carolla, I'm very worried I'm going to die alone and never find my soulmate.
Yeah, you are.
Strasser. You're lucky I got none of my wind left in my sail for your pathetic ass. Look at you. Oh, I'm too tall, I'm too beautiful, I'm too educated, I'm too smart, I'm too rich. There are people with real problems out there, baby. Now rub some dirt on that crotch and walk it off.
Hello, hi, Mr. Doctor. My name is Peanut. I'm calling sick today because one of my flip-flops broke.
Oh, Peanut, you blew out another flip-flop.
Hold up. My beep is blowing up. Hi, Dee Dee. Hey, girl, listen. I'm
Peanut. With the doctor, huh? Hold on, we hired you to answer the phone. Now talk to your friends on three-way.
Dee Dee, he tripping today. He is tripping today.
This ain't Dee Dee. This is AC.
Hold on. He tripping, girl. Go ahead. And listen, thank you for watching the twins.
No, you're out. By the way. The twins.
Wait a minute, you don't even have kids. Wait a minute, hold on.
You have nine kids. That ain't twins. What is that? 4.5 sets of twins?
Uh-oh. Dee Dee, let me hit you right back.
No, this ain't Dee Dee. This is your worst nightmare.
You know what you need to do? You need to bring it down by the thousand because I'm taking my earrings off. Why are you running?
No, I'm sorry for my tone. No, but listen.
I done took my flip-flops off now.
No, please.
Come on with it, because I'm the gold tooth coming out of this hole.
I meant no disrespect.
What's your name?
I meant no disrespect.
What's your name?
Coach Carolla.
No, you know what your name is? Forget you then.
I'm sorry. Would you like another tab? Would you like a cold tab?
Several things happened there. First, he was this brilliant physician, and then all of a sudden he was Bertram, and then he was running.
Coach Carolla, no match for Peanut.
We need to take ourselves a break. Look, when she takes her earrings off, it is on. We need to take ourselves a break. T is going to give a little revelation about her dating news. Her and Dag went out to dinner. No. We can hear about that as well. Dag Hangout, we'll get to T's dating dilemma next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to get into the fabulous dating life of our very own Teresa Strasser. Hang tight, it's going to be a wild ride. With Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Teresa's dating can wait for 1 second. David Alan Greer is in here. Irvine Improv tomorrow night. Absolutely. Through Sunday night. Improv.com is where you go.
Thank God
you're here Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, NBC. David went out to dinner with Teresa. I think we have some audio of that, by the way. Here's what that date sounded like.
It was not a date.
Oh, my God. Wait.
I can't believe you guys recorded that. I didn't think you'd record our private date.
It was not a date. We had dinner together. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah, we just had dinner.
All right.
She was catching feelings. I had to let her go. No, that was a long time ago, too. It was a month. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm currently in a relationship, so I can't.
So, Teresa, your situation is you're with a guy 3 months ago, right?
Yes. Well, when I first started this job a year ago, I was living with a guy. We broke up just after I started here.
Mm-hmm.
But we were hanging out together all the time. And I thought, I'm never going to know how I feel about him if I see him every day. And so we decided to take, well, I decided, I asked if we could take 3 months off of seeing each other.
Really?
Or talking to each other. Because I couldn't get clarity.
Yes.
I couldn't figure out, do I love him or do I not? Or, I didn't know what to do. So that was 3 months ago today.
Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute. Where are you at now?
Okay.
Where are you at right now?
Why? Mm-hmm. What's retarded about it?
That makes sense to me.
Look at me and tell me that you are not sure if you love me, so you don't want to talk to me for 3 months.
Well, I wasn't sure if I loved him. I'm not sure if I love you. Let's take 3 months off.
Goodbye, bitch. Where are your friends?
Wow.
That's adorable.
Tough words.
We did that.
Tough words. So how are you feeling now inside, Teresa? Because I'm really into this. I really am. Tell me how you're feeling.
Patronized.
Yeah. At least I told her the truth.
So you tell your man.
I would never stand
for we were just friends.
Like
we were friends.
Right.
What do you mean you just said you weren't sure if you were in love with him?
Well, friends with Ben's?
We've been broken up for 6 or 7 months, but we were hanging out together all the time.
What does hanging out mean? But naked hanging out or what?
No. No, mm-hmm. Just hanging out as friends.
No, he wanted to get back together.
He wanted to get back together with you.
And I couldn't get clarity. Every day I would think, I wish I would get some guidance. I wish I would see a sign. I couldn't figure it out. And I thought, I'm never going to figure it out if I see him every day as a friend.
But again, here's the problem. Too smart. Couldn't get clarity. You know, when you hear, you know when those weathermen talk to those couples that have been married for 63 years, they never talk about getting clarity.
No.
It's just, we met when I was in the ninth grade, and that was 71 years ago.
Something just sparked.
And I love her.
Oh, we had some tussles or two. She come at me.
You're
with the devil in her eye.
I had to show her the business end of my stroke cane more than once.
Black people go, she caught a mood.
She caught a mood. Caught a mood.
One time when I was making water.
Yeah.
I said, look here.
It's catching a mood.
Let me go on the porch, yes, play with my pit bulls. Did she get right?
She caught a mood.
What's catching a mood?
She caught a mood. That's when you know, you walking around and it just catch her. You catch a bad mood and you just start cussing.
Yes.
Calling someone out in their name, you know.
Right. Now let's get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got this guy here at work that you've been in love with, yes? You were at some point in love with?
Here at work. The guy I'm talking about.
The guy you worked with at work.
No, I never worked with him. I was dating him when she started. She said dated a year ago.
Yeah. She started dating when he started working.
No, you're saying you dated someone. Then you started working and you live with the guy that you were dating before the guy you were dating?
You know, hanging out 24 hours a day. That wasn't clear.
Hold on, Adam, I got it. You were living at home, right, with your parents? Then you met a guy and you were dating the guy and you moved out and you met
the guy. She dated a guy.
No, she was working. You were working and you met a guy and he was living with somebody?
They became friends.
I need clarity. What's going on?
He wanted to get back together.
Right.
Her head was swimming.
Yeah.
So she took 3 months off.
Right.
And now you guys said no talking, no contact for 3 months.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, the fact that he agreed to that makes him a total
plus. What he said was, okay, I'll agree to it, but I can't tell you that at the end of 3 months I'm going to want to get back together.
Right. So,
and how did you feel when he said that?
I thought that was fair.
Ooh. So today is the end of the 3 months.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And you guys have not had any contact.
Mm-mm.
And you feel how about him now?
Well, I feel like I maybe had a 9, and I thought I should get a 10, and what I found were a lot of 4s and 5s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Except for Dag.
Can I jump in?
Math.
Okay, so, Teresa, let's do some role-playing right now.
Okay.
I'm the guy.
Yeah.
If you could talk to this guy through me right now, what would you say? Ring.
Or better.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hi.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Now, not all men of color are incarcerated. How dare you, Brian?
Teresa, is that you?
Well, I'm up against the glass. It's Midnight Express.
Let me say this. He doesn't know any of this because he doesn't. I haven't talked to him, and he doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, really? You believe that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes I think it'd probably be very tempting.
Hello? Who's here? Who's calling?
The last 3 months have not been a success.
He's on the phone. Talk to him, please.
This is my life.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is
my radio show.
All right.
Start dancing.
Hi.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me dance for Daddy. What?
Hey, what's going on? Teresa?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
So it's a 3 month. Has it been 3 months?
Exactly today.
Man, it was kind of hard not to call you or text you.
Really?
Yeah, but I was in the bushes a couple times.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I just miss you so much.
Did you catch a mood?
I caught a mood. Now, what would you tell him? What would you tell the guy?
Do you want to get back with him?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay, no, that was the first and fastest answer you've given.
Now, do you want to get back with him because you couldn't do better or you realize what you're missing?
Okay, I know this is a comedy show, but can I say something serious?
Please.
Yes, okay.
And if you cry, so I will start laughing.
And this is not a comedy show. It's a show.
Okay.
Well, it should be
entertaining. How damaged is this that I'm having this conversation on the air?
Oh,
how damaged?
Well, you're not getting him back.
Come on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Well, is this going to affect my chances of getting him back?
Yes.
This guy's gone to you.
Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I didn't have clarity, and then little things would happen, like stupid things. For example, remember when Oral Hershiser was on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And my ex used to play baseball, and not professionally, in Division I college. And I just, like, I remember thinking, I wish I could tell him that I met Oral Hershiser and how nice he was. And then when the Warriors made it in the playoffs, I thought, I wish we could watch these playoff games together. That's my team.
You missed him.
Yeah, little stupid things. I missed
him. Right. And everybody, as we said, everyone gets very pie in the sky about relationships. There's a very pragmatic side to marriage, raising kids, cohabitating. It's actually more pragmatic than it is lofty and lovey and Disney cartoony.
Right. Gretchen does better than I do.
It is day in and day out. It is intimate, but there's a sort of professional business side.
Yes.
You have to like the person. The person can't be a drug addict.
Right.
They have to be able to take care of your kids. They have to be solid. You want to trade in this 9 because maybe he's not exciting. On the other hand, first off, what are your chances of finding a 10? And then the 10 is cheating right. on you because he's traveling all the
and
time on business.
Yes.
The 7 is also cheating on you.
Right.
Well,
that's
Andrew,
right.
29.
I say get a 4 and 2 3s. There's your 10.
Well, you know what? Now yes. you're talking because I like the 3s and 4s because those are the kind of women that got something to prove.
They're
grateful.
They don't catch a mood.
They say thank you.
Yes.
They put him in the game,
gracious.
Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the ball. You know, I think I can do better.
Between you and I, I'll tell you the absolute truth. And Gretchen and I just had this conversation the other day. Her inability, or what I believe to be her inability, and she's just coming around to it, to say thank you is a big issue in our house.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I say not what you say. It's what you do. But now, Adam, what you're saying. Saying is marriage, take the love, the passion, the wanton lust
That's
out of marriage.
That's going to die down anyway.
Because what marriage is like a job. You have got to come and show up every day, be properly dressed,
yes.
brush your teeth,
right.
forget about, I want a hug. No, do your job.
Every
right?
morning,
there you go.
My wife has
nice.
To punch something that rhymes with clock.
Wow.
Whoa. It is a job.
And
it
she's not job. Punching it.
And
look
if
out.
It's 3 minutes
Bingo.
Late. Well, I mean, to that end, can I add that I think part of what freaked me out is before I got this job, I wasn't working. And so there was a year I was so broke. And it was terrifying because we were living together. He couldn't help me. Just a regular guy with a regular job.
Right.
And I have no net. You know, my dad was a mechanic. I don't have a trust fund. I don't have a husband. I have to support myself. And when I wasn't working for a year, I was working here and there. I made 20 grand.
Right.
But I couldn't pay my mortgage. And I was terrified. I thought, if I'm in this situation again, he can't help me.
All right, but three times a week, I'll take all your bills.
Hold on. When you say he can't help you.
He can't bail me out. It's not like I wanted to date somebody with money because I wanted their money. I think I felt I wanted
back?
The safety of it.
You want
back?
Security.
Yeah, I wanted security.
Why are you going back?
All right, well,
back?
Hold on. We need to take a break. David Alan Greer. Don't go anywhere.
Well, I have to go pick my brother up, and as entertaining as this conversation is, I need a nap.
We're getting, man.
Jeez.
Where's
I'm
your brother?
I'm sorry we veered off the subject of dad.
Well, I am, too.
Shut
up! So am I, to be honest.
Get back
we're not
to me!
Get anything.
Come on!
What
life is amazing!
Where's your brother, LAX?
No, who cares? He'll wait.
David Alan Greer.
Yeah!
He's out of his shell. He'll stay with us. 866-901-ADAM. Call up. Weigh in. Should Teresa get back with her beau? We'll get done dissecting this train wreck next on the Adam Carolla Show.
She's had her share of guys. Bad comics to men who cried. There's a reason why they didn't work out. She's crazy as hell or on the borderline. She's done a lot of things that should have worked to keep a man, behind, yeah, she used it. Try out the back door to boozing. Teresa is a lonely girl who sits waiting by the phone. The only two friends Teresa has are Lean Cuisine and Jameson.
This is mine now.
Woo! Ambitious. David Alan Greer in studio, Irvine Improv tomorrow through Sunday.
What's crackling?
Improv.com. His brother's landing at LAX in 13 minutes. He doesn't give a flying F.
Radio comes first.
Thank God you're here. Wednesdays, 8 o'clock, NBC. New smash hit for NBC. Teresa Strasser, 3 months, is up today.
Yeah.
You had a little moratorium on texting, on conversations,
nothing.
Phone calls, nothing.
Nothing.
But you realize you did find clarity after you broke it off, and now you're in love.
I think so. I think by the way, I just jotted down in the 3 months, I did date. You know, I tried because I thought that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And there was crazy comedian attached to a sleep machine, short comedian, no chemistry, unreliable, moderately employed. Canadian comedian stood me up after inviting me ice skating. E-producer wouldn't pick me up in Koreatown. MySpace guy, communicable disease, mixed signals. And Retro Metro, make a great husband, not for me. DeVry guy asked me why people hate the Jews, and local news personality who didn't mention his girlfriend.
And the following weekend,
No, that was dinner.
That was one weekend in Teresa's standing line.
3 months.
But Teresa, you dated the four of the dudes were the same dude, like the unsuccessful comedian guy.
Yeah, that's a pattern of mine.
Yeah. Did it always start with, oh, do you think this is funny? Can I just run this bit by you?
A lot of times.
Like this cantaloupe, man. What's up with cantaloupes and those seeds?
It's good stuff. Good. Yeah, why not one
Let's
big pit
out.
Like a peach?
Hey, I can you give me $20?
The only funny comedian I went out with was Dag. And by the way, when he picked me up, my neighbor went crazy. My neighbor said, oh, my God, I have to meet you.
It was not a date.
It was a friend.
It was a spinner she was reacting to, actually.
It was a dinner.
I love the fact that Dag drove around Escalade for 3 years with stock rims before he finally gave in to black pressure and got some dubs.
It was the black dude at the Fox studio. Like, hey, look at the rims. Hey, Tyrone, come here. Come here. Hey, the little color dude, man. He got 10-inch rims.
He ain't rolling on 24s.
Man, you going to have doo-doos, man. You want to have doo-doos, 22s, man. Come on now.
This is really the problem, Dag. See, as white people, we make fun.
Raekwon!
We made fun like, oh, I see your kids in junior college. You must be proud.
Remember the dude on the show? You got a 10-inch rim.
You got rim pressure.
Listen, there's a room full of guys here. Can I ask you, do you think he's moved on and has another girlfriend?
Yes.
I have no idea. There's only one way to find out.
Let's call him.
Well, here's what you may find. You may find like, look at me. Oh, hey, who's calling me?
That's the ringtone?
Hey, Teresa, how you doing? Let me get a car. How this is working out. Ooh, I'm tired.
Well, here's a piece of
news. What if he was with another woman?
Yeah. It would be terrible, but Dag just pointed out to me during the commercial, in 3 months, the die hasn't been cast yet. I could still get him back.
This is what you're going through, Teresa. Now, let me be honest right here. Everybody in this room is going through it. When you break up with someone, I hate you. I never want to see you again. Psychologically, after 90 days, we all go through this because we all know that there is still time to salvage the relationship. If the dude met somebody the day after you dumped him, stayed with that one person, it's still within 90 days.
Right.
So you have time before, because logically, you know he didn't. Say the first month he messed around. So he met a girl he kind of liked.
Met her at a
then
bar.
Exactly. Blew her off for 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So really, it's a month and a half. We all think at 90 days, if I wanted to, I could rekindle
back.
This. This is what you're going through.
Well, Tricia wants to weigh in. By the way, we're trying to call the man, and
he's not
reachable
out.
At work.
I don't like the way this is
or
going.
On the cell, so we'll have to secretly record it when you call him later on this afternoon.
Please try your call again later.
I don't think
later.
He's going to pick up my call if he's not picking it up.
And you know, but see, already, you know what you're doing? Already, now this is another failure for you. No, you dumped him. Move on.
That's close. I
tried. Well, T, let me ask this.
Yeah.
We'll play a little armchair psychologist. You do want to get back together with him. You do miss him. You're saying that out of the right side of your mouth.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's a part of your brain that realizes you may jeopardize this whole thing by talking about it on the radio. We could have got past this. I mean, I realize you're taking one for the team, and I appreciate it, but we didn't know the date.
Yeah.
We didn't know today was the date and the end of 90 days.
Yeah.
If you were worried that much about jeopardizing something you claim to care about, couldn't you have just skated by this and not brought it up and we could have moved forward? You know what I'm saying? Psychologically, maybe you do not want to get back together. Maybe you're hoping in one small part of your brain that this does sort of soil it so that you can't get back together.
That's a very good point. If I can address it briefly,
okay,
and then Dag.
Enough if you talked about your
life. I've been a writer since I was 19, and I've always written very candidly about everything in my own life, from planning my dead stepfather's funeral to, every relationship and family and sexual thing. I've always been very candid about my life.
Open
and so,
book.
Yeah, that's just... I don't know. That's really all I have to offer. Right. Not much good at anything else.
Let me just jump in real quick. I'm going to play the other side. Now, the other side is this. There is a part of you that really does feel that if this man really loves you, this will not stop him from coming to get you.
Yes, I I've assessed him. He doesn't like the limelight, but he's okay about it. Remember when he came on, Adam? You met him. He was fine about it. He doesn't like the limelight, but he doesn't hate it. If I thought he would be humiliated or hate this in any way, I would never have done it.
Well, really? Let's talk to Tricia.
Nice for you to pick teams.
Tricia?
Yes.
What do you think about this?
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Morning.
Teresa, I want to talk to you as a single girl, yeah. All right, because I've been single all my life. I'm in my 40s, and I can tell you that I've had those points in my life. I come from a family that's very traditional, expects you to be married. Everybody in my family's married but me, and sometimes when you have a relationship, you feel a little bit more secure, but there was a reason why you said, I need a break. If you really, really felt in your heart that he was number one and the man for you, you wouldn't ask for a break. And then when we get, you know, when we're in a situation where we're by ourselves, it can be very scary and very depressing to get out there and meet all these.
Hold
you know,
on. This is just misery loves company. You're taking dating advice from a spinstress.
Hold on. Let me get this pistol out of my mouth.
Let me tell you something. When you crack 40 and you've never been married and you don't have any kids. Spinstress.
Hey, no, misery loves another person. It's called company. Get out of here.
No.
Listen, what she's saying is true. What she's saying
between
is true.
Us girls, what's your favorite flavor, Lean Cuisine?
Yeah, no, Teresa, no. You know what? All of us tend to, when we're single and we're out of a relationship, then we want to fantasize that guy back. I've done it with guys that I've broken up with, but I promise you, you give it another month, you'll be looking at other guys and won't think of it.
That's a good point. You got to
Seriously, that's a good point.
Just because you're single for 3 months.
My point is professional more than anything else.
What's your point professionally?
If you won't get mad at me, really?
Yeah.
You promise you won't get your feelings hurt?
Are you about to be a douchebag to me? Because
no,
I'm
about to tell you how I feel, and okay. If you don't want me to, I won't.
No, I will.
I think you needed to make a decision between a really good moment of radio or not, and you chose neither. I don't have a great story. I don't have a great show. You just, like, you got to dive in. Tell us how you feel about this guy and what you're going to do to win him back.
How am I not diving in?
You just seem so reserved that...
Angie is dialing him right now on the phone. This is my life we're talking about. What more do you want?
She's calling Pink God for Cutty Sark, actually, and then she's going to dial your guy. Yes, Danny, I disagree, but go ahead.
I feel like that you're being so reserved and playing both sides of the fence.
How am I being reserved? I'm saying I'm still in love with my ex, and I like him back. I've never spoken to him.
Well, the idea that you've given to Adam is that maybe you really don't because of the way you speak. You speak one way, yet you speak another, so Adam's impression is...
I'm speaking one way only.
Well, my opinion, and I agree with Adam, is that you say one thing, but you could be causing damage because you don't really want him back. I just like a clear answer, that's all.
I couldn't have been more clear.
Mm. She's speaking like a chick, right? Don't that's the way women speak.
You want to get in the ring with me? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I
got to tell you.
I'm just defending myself. I think I'm being very clear.
You're not under attack.
You're not being clear, but you were being clear by not being clear.
That was good. Yes.
All right, thank you.
Teresa, you are not being clear, but you're not being clear.
I will hit you.
No, by not being clear, because that's what women do. Women aren't really clear a lot of the time, but you think you're being clear. So in that case, you are.
I'm doing my best.
Thanks for that clarification, Dag.
Was I clear?
I'm doing my best. I'm sorry, Danny, if it's not up to your standard.
No, my normal standard would be if it became down to my wife, who is the mother of my children I love.
Yeah.
And hacking her leg off to make a good bit, she'd be limping.
I feel like I'm hacking my leg off right now. And I don't know if you see it.
It's a different level at which we play, that's all. I didn't understand.
What more would you want me to do? And I'll do it.
I take it back. Nothing. This is the height of your game, and then I apologize for thinking.
Condescending.
No, I wasn't. I think this is as far as you go.
I'll give you a card. I didn't know it was condescending to your coworker date.
You might want to take the earrings off, maybe.
My earrings.
Somebody's spitting fire.
No, I appreciate what you're saying.
I'm just as far out there as you can be.
Why don't you tap into your anger?
You appreciate what he's saying.
What do you really feel? I appreciate what you're saying? Come on.
Now, wait a minute.
It just seems like everybody's talking about Teresa.
Come on,
everybody's doing the Teresa show. This is your moment.
I've said very clearly what I have to say.
Dag.
Please say what I have to say.
Here's the question. First off, Dag's going to be at the improv in Irvine. And then secondly, me and you are going to... We're going to have to go somewhere during the commercial.
Okay.
No, I'm not actually mad at Danny. We're having a real conversation. I'm not...
Well, I think you should be a little bit mad at Danny. Because he's so... Well, yes, because he's sort of accusing
you... Stick up for me!
I'm doing it right now. Here's the thing. Danny mixes a little hyperbole in with some of his stories. It makes for better radio.
Yeah, I don't.
Teresa doesn't have that gene. So what we're getting is just the sort of unpolished, unradio truth. Sometimes the truth is not as exciting. When you do hear people talking look, when a guy's telling a story on a radio, right, and he gets in a fight with a guy who's 5'11", 170 pounds, he's the guy's 6'3", 250. Right. That's the way you 100%. Do it. It's not that he didn't get into a fight. Right. It's not that absolutely. Whatever. Teresa, if she got in a fight with the same guy, might say he was 5'9", 150. She might go the other way. Not great radio instincts, one could argue. On the other hand, if it comes from her mouth, you know it's true.
Right.
That's
I deeply believe the truth
too.
Is the most interesting thing.
So what is the truth? She's in love with him and he's not coming back.
Right.
Do you know anything? That's not my question.
You want him back.
Angie's dialing him. I can't help it if
he doesn't
pick up.
Angie's trying to call him and we can't get hold of him. And that's
because
where we're
he's
left
listening
with.
And he doesn't want to talk to you.
Right.
Move on.
So, but just so because
you want me to have sex with a tranny? Will that be good radio?
Whoa. Yeah.
Yes,
actually,
indeed.
That's right. That'd be awesome radio, actually.
Are you serious? That would
yes.
be good.
No, if that's what you're saying is you want him back and it looks like he's
that's
not coming.
That's the only thing that's interesting, then, you know, I disagree with you fundamentally and artistically.
Mm-hmm. Well, look.
Artistically in this room?
I believe everyone is interesting enough to tell the truth and still have an entertaining radio show. And I do want your candor, and I do appreciate it. And
if I offended you, I apologize.
You gave
Angie the number of your man, and you will talk to your man, I assume, at some
He's
point later on today.
I'll talk to him on the air if he calls.
And you will fill us in tomorrow or whenever you hear what went on, because we're interested, and I do appreciate you doing this. And a lot of people wouldn't do it. A lot of people have an on-air persona, and then there's their personal life, and it's very different from their on-air persona.
Teresa, I sincerely mean that apology. I absolutely. You had no idea that I was pushing you beyond limits that you're comfortable with, and I am really sorry.
Teresa is the same person off as she is on. She's just as boring when we're sitting in this meeting.
Unfortunately, so am I. Some horrible thing's going to happen to me later.
I appreciate your candor, baby. We need to take a break.
I'm out, man. I got to get up out of here.
David Allen Greer's going to pick his brother up at the bus depot.
Peace!
Irvine.
And chicken grease.
Improv tomorrow night through Sunday. And thank God you're here Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock,
on
NBC.
The Adam Carolla Show!
A wonderful show. Back with the news next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Cancer Danny sings the hits.
Don't do this, your girlfriend was hot like me. Don't do this, your girlfriend was a freak like me. Don't you. Don't you. Don't do this, your girlfriend was raw like me with cancer. Don't do this, your girlfriend was fun like me. Don't you.
That's Cancer Danny doing the Pussycat Dolls, Don't Ya, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Don't you wish you could do the news like T?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter, on this station right now.
On the American Idol finale last night, Blake and Jordan's final song was an original called This Is My Now, written by two unknown songwriters who beat more than 25,000 other entrants. You wonder what those songs sounded like.
Wow.
Here is Blake singing This Is My Now.
This is
the style that best suits his voice.
Yeah.
You want to hear Jordan singing it?
Yeah.
Here she is. The judges were in love with her. Mm-hmm. Here is what Randy had to say.
What I love about this show is it's American Idol Superstar. It is a singing competition, bar none. It's the best singing competition ever in the history of television. You were the best singer tonight. You deserve it all, baby. That was fire right here.
You
want to
know what Paula had to say?
You is what it's about.
So does she.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
Jordan. I said before I didn't know what to say, and you freaking make me proud, but I look over to the left of me, and I see your parents, and I see them singing along with you, and I see the joy on their faces. you have a lot to be proud of. A lot to be proud of. You're an angel.
She's looking at a couple of feedback monitors on the stage. Going, you must be very proud being amps of color.
Well, here's what Simon had to say.
Yes.
Jordan, last week, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't think you were good enough to make the finals. And I want to say to you publicly now, I was wrong.
Wow.
Because this is, in case we forget sometimes, it is a singing competition. Yeah. And you just wiped the floor with Blake on that song.
No.
Once in a while, I'll drift off and think it's a bake-off.
Yeah.
I don't realize it's a singing competition. Yeah. And thank God he gives us a heads up every once in a while after watching 4 hours of people sing.
It was actually a singing
competition.
There was also a dancing competition last night called Dancing with the Stars. Apollo Anton Ono, the speed skater, won. And he went on Jimmy Kimmel's show. And Jimmy Kimmel's security guard, Guillermo, asked him whether he preferred winning on Dancing with the Stars or winning at the Olympics.
Which one was better, winning the Olympic or this?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. I get that question a lot, but it's different in their own right. This was definitely not easy.
Oh, please.
We didn't know what was happening. And you know what? This is the first time I've ever been judged on something.
You're not going to compare
actual fan support.
That piece of styrofoam with little mirrors glued all over it to an Olympic gold medal, are you?
It's just totally different. I mean, I had a lot of support from my Olympic friends and my Olympic family. So
I'm sure you did, but they're all laughing at you right now.
Right.
Good for Kimmel.
Different. Nice work. Different, like Ferrari's different from a Daihatsu Charade.
They're just different.
Different. One's a piece of crap. One has three cylinders.
One's a gold medals hero American.
Right. In other Idol related news, remember Kelly Pickler? She came in here.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little blonde that was on Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the touching scene? Yeah, very cute. When her dad, Clyde Bo Pickler Jr., got out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the recidivism rate is very high.
Yeah, it is.
And according to TMZ, he's back in the slammer. He was arrested and charged with larceny for allegedly stealing old rundown cars and taking them to salvage yards to sell them. He's facing 3 felony counts, charges of stealing a motor vehicle, 1 charge of obtaining property through false pretenses, being held on a $26,000 bond.
Here's how that conversation went with little Kelly Pickler. Kelly, sit down. Your dad's been busted for larceny. What he set on fire? No, larceny. I asked you what he took a flame to. A barn. Let's just move forward.
How dare you? Such a giant chain store.
Well, the finale tonight.
He's like that little girl that Drew Barrymore played in that horror movie. Couldn't
fire
stop
starter.
Lighting stuff on fire.
How
fire
dare
starter.
You?
Poor Pickler.
Mm.
Tonight is the big Idol finale. Jordan against Blake.
Mm.
And your money is on?
I'm thinking Jordan.
I think so, too. We need to take a break. I have some ideas.
Neat.
I was watching Jordan last night. 17.
Yeah.
Where's your zits? Where's the flop sweat? Where's the braces? Where's the all the teenage whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 17.
No, you're right. It never occurred to me that that's what you would have thought.
Where's your zits?
Yeah.
You're 17. Aren't you supposed to have a zit?
Yeah.
So here's what I thought. I thought, now what's the date? See, we're May whatever, end of May. When I was 17, at this exact time and this exact date, what was I doing at 17? I'll tell you exactly what I was doing when I was young Jordan's age at this date in this time in 1982. Danny will tell us exactly where he was at that exact same date. And T,
yeah,
you tell us where you were at 17 on the 23rd of May or whatever it is, 19 whatever. We'll tell you exactly where we were when we were Jordan next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Danny's single again, and Adam Carolla is throwing in the bachelor party he never had.
Yeah, let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood. It's the Danny Bonaducci Bachelor Party.
Dynamite!
We'll have strippers.
I want women.
Booze.
Great.
A lot more strippers.
I want some. How much?
And probably a lot more booze, too.
All the things that make life worth living for.
starts at 7 and ends whenever the cops show up.
The cops!
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
That would be out of sight, dude.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I was watching American Idol last night, seeing young poised Jordan at the precipice of stardom, and I thought, where was I when I was 17? I'm so impressed that she's so poised and has so much going on, and I thought, this day and time at 17 years of age, where was I? Well, on May 23rd, 1982, yes, I was at North Hollywood High. I was a senior. I was a week or so away from my 18th birthday. I was living in the garage of my dad's North Hollywood house, a North Hollywood home that was across the street from North Hollywood High. I was a poor student, but I will still manage to graduate in about 17 days if I can pass my Spanish final, which I ended up getting a D in 2 days before the actual ceremony and was able to participate, although I never did receive my actual diploma because I owed the book room, 1995.
The place that lends books?
The place at school that lends you the books We the People. In 1995 is a princely sum to the Carollas, even in $07. In 1982, that was like me asking for a car. So I never did pick up my diploma, and I had an inkling I wouldn't need it. I was a good football player. I had gotten a couple of scholarship offers from small colleges, couldn't fill out the application because I was functionally illiterate, and was heading for junior college and a date with a shovel. That's where I was when I was 17. Quickly.
Well, I was a senior in high school. I had an 8 years older boyfriend. I was taking finals.
Healthy.
I was working at Lombardi's Sporting Goods Store selling sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And getting ready to go off to college.
You were going to go off to NYU?
Yeah.
All right. Danny?
I was living at 318 Weddington Street in apartment 318. Coincidentally, that's why it's my lucky number.
Easy.
And then gearing up for, I had graduated high school at 17 and was gearing up for the next 2 years behind Grauman's Chinese Theater.
So you had already moved out of the house at 17.
Oh, I moved out of the house at 14.
You had enough money from back in the day?
Mm-hmm. I had $72,000.
$72,000. You would have been my best friend, Bonaducci.
But you know what's funny? I made a decision on that. I said I can either try and eke out a whole life on 72 grand, put a down payment, try and get a job, or I can have a pretty rad September. And I went with September.
Shrewd.
Yeah. When you say you were at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, you mean...
I lived behind it. I lived in an alley behind it.
Okay.
Well, because the cops had rushed you, and my car slid right between these two dumpsters, and you really couldn't see it unless you were looking.
2002 BMW. I always remember a car.
Right.
Good for driving, not great for sleeping. We'll take a quick break. I like this game. I think what we should start doing is figuring out celebrities or notables and how old or how young they are and say, what were you doing at this time at that age?
Basically, a less important version of where were you when Kennedy was shot. Unless you're Jackie O, and then
right.
You probably know.
Where were you when Jordan sank?
Right.
Quick break, right back after this. The morning go. I want to thank David Alan Greer. Was he in this morning?
Yeah.
Must have just done a quick break with him. I don't remember that. Irvine Improv tomorrow and his show on
Adam.
NBC. Yeah! 8 o'clock Wednesday nights. Yeah. Thank God you're here. Turning out quite nicely for the young lad. Also, Donny Osmond seems to have landed on his feet as well. Love Songs from the 70s with Donny Osmond in stores now. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.